In the States, those are called Smarties.
I know.
And it's weird.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Because they're rockets.
Okay.
They're rockets. And we all know that God named them rockets.
Here's what I was actually going to say about the name of this thing, is that I don't know why or when I made this mistake, but I don't call them rockets. I call them rocket ships.
I heard that, yeah.
Why?
I don't fucking know!
They don't say
that. I actually looked at this label for the first time last year and went, oh, what the fuck? Why'd they change the name?
Even that is not as baffling as the corruption that is Smarties.
Because actual Smarties, as we know,
are a much better product.
They're a little delicious.
They're different.
Little
and no,
treats.
Red number whatever won't fucking kill you.
They're like M&M's, but smaller. More like Reese's Pieces and M&M's mixed together. No peanut butter,
little chocolate goodies.
Yeah. Does that mean Smarties in the US are called rockets?
They don't exist.
They don't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, American candy's the fucking weirdest, lest you try and bring a goddamn Kinder Surprise across the border.
In Britain,
right.
In Britain, the orange Smarties taste like orange chocolate.
That's stupid.
Like,
shut up.
Like Terry's chocolate orange.
Like Terry's chocolate orange. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, it was like that when I last went. So.
That's goofy shit, you limey fucks.
Yeah.
Eat my orange.
That's a weird one. Hey, so this is a very special episode of
Welcome to Chewy and Fuckface.
Chewy and Fuckface in the morning. Oh yeah.
Boing. Hey, welcome, caller. You've called Chewy and Fuckface in the morning. What's your favorite radio station?
Well, I have my horn app.
Go get it.
You're not as good as Shawn Michaels.
Stall for time, Chewy.
We got a special episode this
week. Wait, I'm Chewy?
No.
How the fuck am I Chewy?
Because, later on, we'll be joined by none other than
Lord British himself,
Matthew. Richard Matthew.
What? Botchmania.
He said Lord British, and that's Richard Garriott.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Sir, I'm fucking with the audience.
Esquire.
Matthew from Botchmania is totally going to be joining us. We are putting that at the end of the show.
Because it's like 90 minutes.
It's a pretty long, fun, dumb time.
I have his intro music already, right now. I'll play it for you guys.
Play it.
There you go.
Best.
Love that song.
Best. So
if you just want to hear about wrestling.
Chewy and Fuckface. So I have a little behind the scenes moment for you guys.
You do.
Matt and I were recently recording.
Why do you have that on your phone? Because he needs it.
Matt and I were recently recording a video, and we were somewhat drunk, and we started yelling at each other to call each other's phones, only to discover that we both have that ringtone.
That's embarrassing. That's so embarrassing.
I got it first.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do.
How?
Because I saw that Reddit thread first, for sure.
Why is that?
You wore the same dress to the prom. It doesn't matter who did
it
first.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well,
both of you are ruined for life.
You have to change it. I'm not changing it.
But I was the first one to play it.
Yeah, okay. It's true. I heard it first. I was there.
I played it first.
This is the first recorded thing that it's going to be heard on. Me, I'm the first.
Here's why he has to change it, and why it doesn't even matter if he doesn't change it, because his phone doesn't ring.
Yeah, it doesn't ring on recorded things like yours did last week.
No!
Mine hasn't recorded in a while.
Let's just fucking let's just dump in our pants and start throwing feces.
The shit has formed into a paste in Undertaker's pants.
You know my favorite part about this fucking mess?
Yeah.
Is that Matthew's going to download the podcast and go, oh, God. Oh, God. I'm at the end of this shit
show. I'm a part of this?
Yeah. No, we listen to him. He's down for the shit.
Matthew, this is a dark show, man.
Mm-hmm. No.
But if you do just want to hear Matthew, what is it, the last hour?
Skip to the last hour and 20 minutes of the show.
Hour and 20 minutes. There you go.
It's a good one.
But for those reasons, we will be skipping over what we did yesterday, which was check out WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because we run down the full card with
Matt.
The full fucking card.
Enjoy
but it
that.
Was great.
We had a good time.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah. It was good.
So,
it was fun.
Let's just go right into the things we did besides
what,
that.
What have we been doing?
What yeah. episode Wooly, is what this,
you
by the way?
Pat, you, this is episode 86.
Dang. 86.
Okay. Pat, what'd you do?
Oh, I played a lot of Bloodborne with you!
Yeah! A lot!
A lot!
How does it feel to have to wait for Wooly to play Bloodborne?
I figured out a trick to play more of it when he's not around.
Oh, well, first of all...
What is this trick to grow
you
your
need
penis?
To, okay, well, actually, explain it so I can fucking staple down how crazy you are.
Okay, so, I want to play Bloodborne a lot, but I can't because I want to stay raw for the LP, which is coming up yesterday.
Yesterday.
And will continue forever until it's done or we die.
Or you kill yourselves.
Yeah, that's possible.
You'll die in the game.
No, it's a single death. One CC run.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. And I was like, oh, I want to play it so bad, but I can't. Ah! And then I figured out that the game has those randomized challenge dungeons.
Okay, the chalice dungeons.
The chalice dungeons.
Ah.
So I'll stop where we're at and discover no new secrets or anything like
just
that.
Do chalice.
And just run the chalice dungeons because you can get more chalices in the chalice dungeons to give yourself harder chalice dungeons.
Yeah.
Okay. However, prior to this, I simply said after we did our first session, "Hey, dude, just start your save file."
And I said,
"And don't go past where we were."
And I said, "I can't do that."
Why not, Pat?
Because my character slot would be in slot 2 instead of slot 1.
So he's going on as if there's an actual problem when the only problem is
I got over
who
it.
Doesn't want his.
I got over it.
Slot 2.
Because
Wooly, fucking
Wooly, I got over it. Okay.
God.
I got over it. I'm not that crazy.
Because I knew that you would in no way wait only till when we're recording to play the game.
We only play it 3 times a week.
Yeah.
For 5-hour sessions.
And that's not enough.
No,
I know that's not enough.
Not enough.
So I'm like, I hear you going, I don't want to take slot 2. And I'm like, I'm just going to look at my watch and wait. Because there's no way in hell you're going to
fucking
hold
that out. I sent you that message at like 2 o'clock last night.
You're not going to sit there staring at that icon on your PS4 and just fucking be like...
And do nothing. Yeah.
You don't even need to look at the icon now. It's suspended.
You just start right into it.
Just start right
into
it.
You turn on your console and you're in the game already.
Right there. Yeah.
Of course you're going to start playing.
Yeah. So
you
it's,
crazy motherfucker.
So, because Wooly and I are fucking LPing it, I'll keep my impressions brief.
Mm-hmm.
That game is fucking astounding. And if I want to call out one element of it that is so amazing... is that it is shortcut porn like no game has ever been.
Yeah,
Demon Souls and Dark Souls had some good ass shortcuts.
Yes.
But this is full on shortcut
this
pornography.
Is way better,
this is the best use of level space I have ever seen in a game ever. With the fucking Cathedral and Central and Old Yharnam districts being fucking 14 levels deep on top of each other.
But they're all circles that just loop back.
Yeah, amazing.
I was here earlier and Matt was like, I want to make progress. How do I make progress? And
how do I do it?
And I was like, oh, you can open up a shortcut. And he's like, no, I want to make progress. And I'm like, there is progress.
Shortcuts
are so progress.
Because when you get to the boss, you need to get to the boss. And
you one-shot at the boss.
He totally one-shot at the boss.
The cleric?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, it was really impressive, actually.
I died against Clark.
I took the axe, and Liam was just like, wow, the axe is super good.
It's great. Because
he hadn't taken it at that
point. Dude, spoilers, the axe is super good.
You know the guys with the bricks?
The brick trolls?
If you do the charge attack on them, it just knocks them
down.
Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy.
If you do a lot of charge attacks on people.
Because I went with the threaded cane, and it does not, as far as my experience went, it did not succeed.
You know what's
at
awesome?
That.
Staggers.
Staggers are great.
Yeah, they're great.
And so shortcut porn and the change towards offense. Mm-hmm. Like I feel it split the difference between character action and your traditional souls thing.
Yeah.
And it split that difference perfectly.
Well then let's all jump in then and make this.
Yeah, let's do it.
So
we're all fine.
People are dicks, they don't let you into their houses, let me in. I don't want to be outside.
No, knock on the door, knock.
Every single motherfucker good luck.
Caught outside during the hunt, are you?
assholes.
And for me, the thing that I absolutely adore the most is the push the offensive. You got hit, then you better fucking hit back to get that life.
Don't roll back and heal, or you're going to hit zero on your vials real soon.
Yeah, so die or get the life back.
Just
right?
Do it.
Press
just do it.
Into its purest form.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is dodging at 20-degree angles towards enemies.
Yeah. Because then you're behind them.
Because then you're behind them,
yes.
And you get, crazy hella invincibility when you go for it.
I messed around with it, letting guys, attack me last night and just, dude, you have so much invincibility.
So
you have
much.
It's like 15 frames or something crazy
and,
like that.
But they attack so much more.
Yeah.
And when you end up having, and the thing is, when you start to really feel it, is you end up having these dodge battles with the other hunters.
Dodge battles.
Where it's like, oh my god, now
you're using your invincibility to teleport through gunfire.
When you fight Gascoigne the first time, it's like, oh, these guys are fucking sick to fight.
So that's the thing is,
the hunters
my second point for me at least was like, I really, even though I was totally wrong about like
the Dark Souls art, right?
Because I was like, I was like, it's fantasy armor stuff. And then it's like, no, there's more. There's a lot of interesting things going on there. But despite the fact that I was wrong about that, it's still really refreshing to see what's going on here.
Yeah.
I remember being a little bit worried kind of going like, I wonder if we're all going to just sort of be like the same hunter and then that'll be that.
Yeah, because my guy just, like, he's got, like, a hood, like, an Ezio hood, and, like,
suspenders.
Suspenders.
Yeah.
And I assume
that's
everyone
starts like that.
Yeah,
right?
But you know what? I'm like, you know what? No, it's fine. We are hunters, but...
And then you find, like, 10
we
or
find
whatever
little slightly
uniform.
Customizations, but it's okay, because it's almost like a uniform.
Yeah.
And when you, you know, in like, a Full Metal Alchemist kind of way, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way they dress up in theirs. And, like, when you have these things where you're challenging a guy that's a lot like you, but you both sidestep the same direction, and then he lets off a shot... Like, fucking awesome.
Yo,
it's awesome moments, man.
I wish there was more different types of clothes and stuff. Like, most people are just sticking with the default...
They went the first
hunting gear you get, the one that's on the cover of the box.
Yes.
Most people just stick with that, because the stats are the most...
The stats are negligible.
The stats are totally
so negligible.
Fashion it up!
Because fashion-born.
Put that hat on!
No, exactly.
Right. Put on a fancy hat!
I've had fashion a couple blood. Instances where it's been beneficial to switch for specific stat bonuses, like resistances to stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I wish there was just a bit more outside of that.
Yeah. I kind of disagree. Agree with you. I prefer to just be. I wish those your body gear had no stats whatsoever.
Sorry, I don't even mean numbers. I mean even in terms of aesthetic. I don't think.
They're all like Willie said. They're all like a uniform.
Mm. Yeah, I don't even think there's enough. Even just in terms of aesthetic, but outside of that, this is the game of the year.
Right away, game of the year.
I've been catching wind that like there's like of course there's a negative backlash from different types of original fans. Some of them, right? There's some people.
I agree with Liam.
Yeah. So and
see,
I think
me and Liam represent like two ends of the Souls spectrum,
mm-hmm.
where I love all of them and then shit all over Dark Souls 2, but I love it. And Liam he doesn't even really care all that much for Dark Souls 1. But you're crazy about fucking
Demon Souls.
Right?
Dude, I was there on day, like, one.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, I know. And, but both of us are like, no, Bloodborne's the shit. It's Bloodborne now.
This is the real king.
The blood future.
I still want Demon Souls 2.
Yeah.
But this
is
the real king.
This is
Demon
Souls. You know what this reminds me of?
I want Voltaria back.
How all you guys...
Just pretend this
well,
is
not,
Voltaria.
Not Liam.
Just squint a little.
But how Willie and Pat would just go, Guitar Hero is so fucking good. Oh, get Guitar Hero. And I'm like, yeah, there's Guitar Hero. I think I'll finally Guitar Hero 3. I'll buy it. Oh, Guitar Hero is so fucking lame. It's Rock Band. Gotta give it Rock Band.
I forgot about that.
The only difference is that I didn't buy hard into Dark Souls 2 and started playing that. It's like, and as someone that like always likes the Souls games in terms of like their aesthetics, but I never really enjoy how weak your guy always is when you start, and that's always
my biggest problem. You are a fucking beast. Haha. But in this game, when you start,
one, like I'm enjoying a lot more. And like I said to I think all of you now, but I'll say it like on a podcast, is that like make the threaded cane into a whip, have no character creator, make another Castlevania.
Yeah,
I remember
it's more Castlevania than Castlevania.
I don't know if I ever said that on air, but I remember saying that to you like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. But now the aesthetic fits way
more. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Also take a syringe. Fill it with Lovecraft and inject it into the neck.
Yeah. I remember saying that during one of our Best Friend Vania videos, and like there was some comments ridiculing the idea. Like
no,
Dark Souls isn't Castlevania.
No,
it's
it actually is what a 3D Castlevania should
like,
be. It's hard as shit. You explore, you backtrack, you open shortcuts.
The only thing is that there's no platforming per se, whereas Castlevania is
but it's swapped for the exploration.
Yeah. There were moments.
I would argue that the right way to play Souls games involves platforming.
But it would be the one thing that
I think
it would be weird to have a character in this type of setting that was active with a personality that was talking during cutscenes
and things like that. I wouldn't say no.
No,
if it was my friend, I wouldn't say no.
It'd be weird.
You wouldn't have to do much. Just like, hey, fuck you, Dracula. Yeah, what?
No, your character doesn't have to talk. It's the same thing as any Souls game where you talk to creepy NPCs that tell you stuff that makes no sense.
Of course, but every Belmont
I want to go back at you for that statement. How much dialogue is there really in Symphony of the Night?
Very little. Well, for each boss,
you talk to them.
But like, think about it. If they did the voice acting in the style of FromSoft and not terrible English localization...
You could do it.
No, what I'm more so thinking, though, is that like the talking is coming from you as opposed to other people that
I follow you. But I think the volume is kind of
It's very similar. Yeah,
Potentially,
it's doable. And in the Souls games and in Bloodborne, like, it is assumed that your character is speaking, but you're just not hearing them speak.
Yeah,
because characters respond to you in ways that, like, you asked a question.
If From Software can make a 3D Castlevania that where you play as Julius Belmont
in 1999,
that would be the greatest.
Yeah,
that would be the greatest.
They did. It's called Bloodborne.
I know that's Igarashi's thing, but like.
Yeah,
I'd be
and anything else to say will show up in the LP.
Yeah, it's an astounding, fantastic game. And those challenge dungeons, not as good as the main game.
No, they're decent. But
they have totally unique bosses. Like, I fought two bosses that I'm damn sure don't appear in the main game because they suck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. they're fucking terrible.
They're Dark Souls 2 bosses.
They are. Man, is this the most, like, and I know, Liam, you've decried me saying B-team and stuff like that in the past.
Yeah.
But this is, I feel like, the most, like, razor-thin, like, this. Because this content is clearly side content. The chalice stuff is clearly side content.
Yeah.
And it looks and feels like Dark Souls 2.
A little bit, yeah.
And, like, that makes it, like, so... Mm-hmm. It's basically FromSoft, but Miyazaki didn't touch it. It comes out like this.
Perhaps, yeah, exactly. When I was playing the Chalice Dungeons, I was thinking to myself, man, like, a year and a half from now, they should just release the Hunter's Dream with the Chalice Dungeons for free.
That's a good one.
That's
a good one.
Just go out, buy costumes. Enjoy your Blood Souls.
I will. But, Blood Souls? Yeah, sure.
Blood Echoes.
Fuck. No, dude, don't worry about it. We're calling them Titanite.
This is going to be a long LP, so you guys are going to get little hints of this concept as you go through it. We can't. Our brains.
The nomenclature
can't
is set.
Undo yeah. Soul. Because Blood Echoes is three syllables, and Souls is one. Titanite is the same for all three pre-existing. Yeah. No, not demons,
it's
but
similar. still,
go it's a similar concept.
Liam, go hit that bonfire. It's there.
It's a baby bonfire and a lantern.
The other day, I forgot what a lantern was called, and I was talking to my girlfriend, and I was like, I just got to the
fuck it, bonfire,
bonfire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have that much baggage, so when I was talking to Liam, I said, "Hey, I want to. Where is the next?" And I go, "Well, not." Bonfire, but I said torch.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I'm not calling things like souls or whatever. I'm just like, I just call everything blood. I was just like, oh, I got blood, lots of blood.
So does the game.
Fine.
Cold blood, light blood,
and
I was telling Liam something funny
that happened to me is like, you know, when you just kind of clear the area where all those guys are sitting around the gigantic fire, and there's
that's
a
correct.
Dude mm-hmm. banging on the other side of the door. When I went on that side door, it's the whatever, brick guy, right?
Brick troll.
And as I go up and I'm fighting a bunch of guys up on like two or three sets of stairs, and I back up into like a little clearing, and then I see the big guy who I assumed was that guy that's in the alley, or the same enemy type, the guy that's in the alley that's just there to
with
kill
the axe,
you.
Yeah.
I assumed it because I didn't get a good look at him. I saw him banging on their side door. I'm like, yeah, I'll just steer clear from that for now. And as I'm finding the guys, I see the big guy start getting aggroed, and he walks by. I'm like, okay. I see he's back there, and I'm chopping at the regular dudes,
and I just see him sidle
up.
And you're mentally projecting their aggro feel.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on over here?
And he just awkwardly.
And at the beginning, before you get to the first boss, like, those guys are tough.
Yes,
like, you can't level up. They take a beating.
But I see him awkwardly doing a weird sidle up animation, like he's not supposed
sliding
to be
up
doing
the side
this.
Of the stairs.
He's just sliding up because that scares, and I'm like,
yeah,
the performance is a little to be desired, but supposedly
it's fine.
Supposedly they're going to help patch those load times.
The load times are the only thing.
It'd be
that,
nice
like,
if it was running in 60.
It's still better than the other
games. Oh yeah, considerably. You didn't play any other ones on console. This is much better.
You have to play Demons because Demons runs at like 18 if you're lucky.
Yeah,
Demons
yeah.
runs mm-hmm. terrible.
This
is great.
Probably my biggest like design technical complaint is that more than any other game in the series, like, boy, is it obvious when enemies hit their bounding box.
A little bit.
For zones.
Yeah, not too much.
Like, when you run and they're like, I cannot walk past this fucking
spot. I'm sprinting and I'm backing up.
Yeah.
the only other thing I was going to say was, like, there from the feedback that I've been catching with, like, a lot of people just, like, all over it, some people being negative, like I said, and some people are going, like, wow, I'm getting destroyed trying to play this like the last game I played.
It's super different.
So if you were a person that went sword and board all day, every day, fuck you. You're fucking gonna get ruined for a while.
Hey, buddy, here's a shield.
Yeah, oh, that...
That shield had one application for me. It was in a chalice dungeon. There was guys throwing knives.
Yeah,
it was
that's actually perfect. Useful. Yeah,
perfect for stopping.
Okay. But like the description says, shields are cool unless they engender passivity. Yeah. And it's like that's you really fucking good. Ass.
I'm like 30 hours into the game.
You're way in there, man.
I'm like, as far as the trophies go, because you get one for each boss. It seems like I'm very near the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
This game has so many mysteries. It's wonderful.
The early time in a FromSoft life.
One has more mysteries, I think.
Yes.
Like, you guys saw one of the really cool things happen, I heard.
Yes.
There's more stuff like
that. I bet there is.
This game is, like,
will
on
that
another
stupid
level.
Pendant be in this?
Probably.
I told Matt about another one of the things.
Yeah,
and, like,
mysterious letter.
Yeah, and like that thing was fucking sick. So there's stuff. It's
there's stuff.
A game really of the year, cool unless no, it's game of the year.
Yeah.
So what else I play? I played a little bit of Pillars of Eternity, which is really really fantastic. I kickstarted the shit out of it. I gave it $165. Really happy with it. It's everything about it is amazing. Like the and right away you get to see like these are the kinds of like nuanced obsidian-y stories that they want to tell. Like the very first party member you run into is a guy like running away from town because he's being religiously persecuted because his god came down, had a crusade, and then got blown up by an atomic bomb.
Subtle stories.
And he has to get out of town because everyone hates him and they're gonna hang him. There's a slight problem with Pillars of Eternity, and I would advise anyone who wants to play the game or kickstarted it to wait like at least 1 week from this recording to play it.
Well, keep your eye out
for patches, because I have a list in front of me of bugs that are fucking bad.
Borderline crippling issues.
Like, real fucking bad. Number one, if you load a save game in an area in which you can pick up a party member, the buffs that party member gets to their defense will stack on themselves. So if you die often in an area where you pick up a party member and load the game 50 times, they will have like 500 times their normal defense.
Whoa.
Number two, if you double-click to equip any item... It will remove all talents, passive, permanent buffs, and racial bonuses from that character forever.
Oh my god.
Double-clicking to equip an item.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Number three, at about 30 hours, it takes like a minute to quick save. Number four.
Because all the different variables are just
stacking up.
Number four.
A quick save takes
occasionally
a minute.
Occasionally, summon monsters or ranger pets will not despawn after battle, leaving you permanently in combat and unable to leave the map. Number five. Floor number 13 of the super dungeon. A ghost doesn't give you a password you need, so you can't beat it. And the stronghold doesn't ever give you any money. It only takes money from you. There's also one in which there is a cipher class, in which you get a cipher necklace that is four ciphers and says, hey, it gives a bonus to their attributes. And if you equip it on them, they will never, ever, ever be able to gain their combat resource, and their int will double, and that character will just break forever. So yeah, it's fucking broken. It's fucking busted right now.
It's pretty much impossible to not encounter one of those issues.
And it's...
Double clicking
to equip.
Yeah, drag and drop.
Late in the game, like stuff that you will run into.
You're gonna do,
Still one of the least buggy like PC RPG releases ever, which is like the most fucking shameful thing. Like, this kind of game feels like an MMO in that you cannot fix it until you have a million people banging their heads against it. They've already fixed the durability, the talent bug and the necklace bug, and I think one more, and that'll be coming out in a patch this week.
Right.
But
there's still work to be done.
Give it some time.
That autosave one's
going
to get fixed for a minute.
Obsidian is pretty good about, like, when they're not being banned by their publisher from making patches, Obsidian is actually quite good at making patches quickly and that have huge amounts of fixes.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, it's a really good game.
Seems like it.
I'm bummed out that I have to wait to play it.
Well, you have Bloodborne to play.
Well, see, the problem was is I was supposed to have a fucking eternity to play because I couldn't play Bloodborne. And now I've switched. Ah! Embarrassment of riches here. I should put time into Type Zero. I should do that.
Why not?
Mogulin.
Mogulin.
Tupo.
Liam, what's going on?
You just call him Liam.
That's a good question. What is going on?
I'm thinking.
And did
it's
you
like,
just dive bomb Bloodborne the whole week?
I've played so much Bloodborne. That game is fantastic. So I found like Dark Souls and Dark 2 did not feel like I was playing Demon's Souls for the first time again. But
yes.
Bloodborne feels like playing Demon's Souls for the first time again.
Yes.
Like, because Dark and Dark 2 are effectively Demon's 2 and 3, right? Because it's medieval armor.
We had to
it's a bit different.
We had to change it from Dark to Demon's
title.
To Dark.
Yeah.
Sony owns the name.
But like Bloodborne.
So when we get like Soulborne.
Yeah.
Or fucking Sony
it's not
owns
a setting,
the name.
It's not a setting change, right?
Yeah, well, somewhat, but not as much as Bloodborne.
And at the same time, Bloodborne's setting is directly based off the best level from Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm. So, that game's fucking amazing.
It's real good.
It's game of the year. I really
want to make out with it.
I really just want to talk about like some of the late stuff.
No, don't
I'm
do
not
that.
Going to.
Don't
I'm not,
do that.
I'm not gonna. But like,
people will stab you. One of those people is me.
Like, I see people saying shit like, man, you're just in cobbled streets for the whole game. Like,
no, you're not!
No, you're
no,
not.
Also,
no, maybe 40%
well, yeah,
generous.
I think I said this in like part what will eventually become part 14, but it's like, yeah, no, the first couple areas, that it's city, but it's city with wildly different architecture, states of decay, repair, very like...
Lighting. Dude, the lighting changes are sick.
Like,
right?
Just because it's a thematically consistent city doesn't mean that, like, it's all the same.
The lighting changes because of the phases of the moon are amazing, and after a certain point, it just goes to another level. But I can't talk about it.
What else did you play, then?
It's fucking good. I played Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
What
yeah,
is
I
that?
Keep hearing
what
about
is
that.
It?
Which I deleted within 2 hours. So you
okay.
know. So for anyone,
yeah, knows, that's what it is.
So for hunting games, you can kind of pin it down to Phantasy Star Online and something Monster Hunter really like built the tropes.
As the originals. Yeah.
For this game, I'm not so well versed in the history of Japanese smartphone games.
What is it?
So I don't know how far back you have to go. I'm getting there.
Okay, I'm just like, I have no idea.
But the closest thing I can say is Mobage games. Games by Mobage.
Oh no, Nintendo!
And if you don't know what Mobage games are, so there's a guy on YouTube who did a very good review of them that turns into a song halfway through that shows how they're all the same. And they work on the formula of you have a Gashapon machine, and then you have the premium Gashapon machine that costs...
money.
Premium money.
Which is money.
And the game doles out money and premium money, and then after a certain period of time, it stops doling out premium money. And eventually you're playing, and then you can't beat anything because you need more premium bucks to use the premium Gashapon.
Oh no.
And there's a little game in the middle, like Puzzle and Dragons has its puzzle or whatever, and that's how you play it.
Yeah.
And it's built around this loop of you play whatever game of varying quality to try to get premium currency and save it up over the course
but
of
but then you don't get it anymore.
While. And so for the first few loops, it's free and it's easy, and you get premium draws every 2 days, every week, and then eventually every month, and then maybe 2 months.
You were describing a gambling addiction machine.
I know. And this type of game is and always has been absolutely disgusting.
The worst. It's glad to see they learned from All the Bravest.
It's All the Bravest is still worse than this.
I thought you were going to say not as worse.
Fucking terrible.
I've said some.
No, I don't know. They might be on the same level.
I've said some outrageous shit about that kind of design.
This is by DNA, by the way, this game.
But so, I think this is the kind of design that in 20 years will be, like,
amazing.
Criminal.
I hope so.
And will be looked back on as, like, shameful. How smoking was totally unregulated.
I think you're crazy. I think you're insane. I think this will become standardized.
But I hope he's right.
Even you mean, like,
more
smoking?
Than it already is. Mm-hmm. I think it'll become the super hyper norm.
Yeah.
It'll be so entrenched it can't go away.
So, some games...
You mean like gambling and smoking and drinking?
Right. Yeah.
Those
yeah.
are regulated.
Yeah. Some games like Love Live and Puzzle and Dragons, right? They have a really good gameplay section, like the rhythm game or the puzzle game, you know, but this game is just like a Final Fantasy battle, which is effectively just a DPS race every time, but there's no walking, there's no overworld, there's no nothing, so it's just, hey, go do the Gashapon, go fight, go do the Gashapon, go fight, and then when you can't fight, well, you're going to have to use the premium Gashapon if you want to succeed, guy, and after a while that turns into, well, you're going to have to pay if you want to use the premium Gashapon.
Okay.
And the most egregious thing that these games do is they all have constant server pings between every menu to make sure you're not cheating. And it is the most, like, it's the biggest pain in the ass. I see people complaining about these games, like Destiny of Spirits and stuff, saying, like, man, I wish they'd fix the loading issues. There's no loading issues. It's server pings to make sure you're not cheating.
Because in this case,
the developers are literally...
Cheating is piracy.
The developers are literally kneecapping the game's playability to prevent people from working around their trash Gashapon system that is entirely built on taking advantage of you after you're hooked.
I'm gonna change my prediction. They will be regulated, and they'll be regulated in the way that children cannot play these games.
God, I hope so.
Because they are viewed as, like, controlled substances, like
basically
video poker or something.
I still think you're crazy, but I think they'll say, like, a parent gives the okay, perhaps? In the same way that a parent has to give the okay to let you use the card.
I don't think a parent can give the okay for you to sit on a video poker machine in a bar.
I don't think that's a real thing.
Everyone can see what you're doing
in Japan. In Japan, there was a I don't know the details, so I might be a bit crazy. This was like 5 years ago. There was a regulation on mobile games that use Gashapon systems that require you to get full sets of objects in the Gashapons to do anything.
Yeah.
That is, as far as I know, that is forbidden. This is still okay.
We're in a brave new world.
There's like a 20-page thread on GAF, and I look at that, and it's just like, that's not a video
game
you're playing.
Wow,
it's
you guys
terrible,
are getting,
man.
Wow, you guys are getting hooked. Look at you.
Look at you, druggie. I see people saying, I spent $30 on draws today, and it's like, man.
Oh, man, those stupid suckers. Oh, man, hold on while I go polish my amiibos.
Yeah, exactly.
You fucking whales. Yeah.
At least I have an amiibo.
Look, yeah, at least you have a thing.
Like, exactly. Like, at least I walked away with
the
thing.
It's the same ripoff, but at least you actually have something to show for it.
I think this is way worse, because all you're paying for is numbers.
I totally agree.
Like, exactly.
But it's like mine are all unformatted still. They're statues in my
glass.
Sure. You know?
Exactly. But
No, that's hideous.
It's garbage. And like, people stop playing these games. Just stop empowering them, especially when the gameplay's not even that good.
Right. I play.
Like,
I
for Love Live, I get it. I was hooked by like the rhythm gameplay that was really
solid.
Because
you were having fun with the video game?
I was having a lot of fun with the video game half.
Yeah.
But this, like, the video game half is just nothing.
Go play
fucking regular Final Fantasy game.
Well, part of
don't
play those. Well, what did you expect, you know, going into this, right? Like, you almost...
I expected them to do better.
I need to get a microphone in one of these
This
guys.
Is by DNA,
like,
so...
How do you feel about addicting children
the guys,
to gambling?
These are the guys who are saving Nintendo. Remember, so...
I'd rather Nintendo fucking die.
You know, granted, I think Nintendo will obviously regulate it better than that, but, like...
Yeah, with amiibo support.
It's man, fuck these, like, fake video games. They're the worst.
Anything else? grieve.
I can see you're getting emotional.
I played a mecha game called Damascus Gear that came out on the Vita this week, actually. It's a top-down dungeon crawler, I suppose, but the dungeons are Japanese cities, right? And the whole thing is the defense system of the gears has gone awry, and all the gears are bad. And so you've got to pilot your gear and fight the other gears.
Stop building defense systems!
It was a bargain title in Japan, and it's a bargain title here by one of those Arc System Works guys. And it's good. It's fun. If you like mecha things and you want a new mecha thing, Damascus Gear's cool. It's got a good name.
A lot of customization.
Yeah, I like that name.
No, it's good. It's
good, solid name.
What about you, Wolves?
All right. That's it.
Yeah, no, that's your fucking sign to peel off.
No worries.
Give me some more of that candy.
At a rocket ship.
Yeah, so I call them rocket ships.
A while ago, and I know that, Matt, you can definitely jump in on this. So a while ago, a bunch of people were like, dude, you gotta watch Inferno Cop, and I started watching the Raw.
Shit, I gotta watch Inferno Cop.
Did all three of us watch it this week?
And then I was like, this is hilarious, but I don't... It's not subbed, you know. And then eventually Crunchyroll subbed it.
Yeah.
And I started watching those and stopped. And then got back and finished it this week exactly.
Yeah.
That shit is great. It is hilarious. It is a budget-ass trigger show that is made with what is... cardboard cutouts. And lots of love.
Lots of love.
Is this the Japanese version of Axe Cop?
No. It's Axe Cop has better animation.
Yeah.
As opposed to zero?
Zero frames of animation.
Well, like, fucking, what was it?
Might as well be a comic book.
Did any of you guys see Sex and Violence? That fucking weird...
So that's what I was going to bring up next. Yeah. Right? So I watched this and I was like...
Boy, that was weird.
I loved it. Inferno Cop is hilariously low budget. And it's like, it feels like one man is doing it, like hidden from everyone else. And then just uploads it, and it's too late, I made it.
Uh-oh, the logo's on it.
Right? Trigger, too bad.
It's nice for anime to have a savior again.
Inferno Cop.
Yeah.
So
even though it's like 3 years old.
Yeah, Nano's not going to do it again.
Definitely recommend it.
It's a short watch.
3 minute episodes. What are you going to do?
There's 13 minutes, so you're done in like under like
with fact.
You're done now.
In under 45 minutes, you can be finished before this podcast's over.
The Great American Grand Prix race that's happening in America, even though all the backgrounds are clearly of Japan.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Then I checked out the other trigger short that went up, which is
Sex and Violence
with Mock Speed. And
this was for a animation festival style deal in Japan.
The same,
I believe.
The same animation festival that had the Evangelion short that was brought up not so long
ago. Oh, that thing?
Yes.
That thing's fucking weird.
So Sex and Violence with Mock Speed is. I'm like, oh, okay, this is very Penny and Stocking-esque, but going a slightly different flavor with it. Not as good as...
There's one really, really good bit that they use twice, which is Sex's move.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's it.
The Rhino...
The Rhino girl
the rhino,
was probably the best.
The boss's wife is awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. But beyond that, I was like, all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it obviously wasn't really made to make money, you know, so...
I don't think so.
Yeah, so, like, the writers had... You know,
they
20
did what
minutes
they did,
in there.
And very similar in to Inferno Cop in that sliding shapes around is how we're going to do it. Because fuck it.
Definitely. Just speaking of Evangelion real quick, by the way. The project to put the Lance of Longinus on the moon needs help. It's not making it. The Japanese Kickstarter equivalent that they're using... It's not pulling through, unfortunately.
Okay, so
if you are Japanese and or have a Japanese credit card and or want the Lance of Longinus on the moon,
you are catering to a very small part of this podcast audience.
This is an important enough project for the human race.
I don't know.
See, I don't know. I'm on the other side of this where I don't think this is a good idea because
like
that starts the process of making things real.
No, I want it there for when we're all dead and the next civilization comes along.
Who cares about stuff when you're dead?
But,
I want that.
No, I like the original thing from the video pad where it's just like,
okay.
That might be toying or tempting something.
Yeah. Liam, I understand that feeling, but I only get it when I fantasize about faking my own death so I could surprise people at my funeral with a treasure hunt.
No, just pop but out like, of the casket.
Like, I'm the kind of guy who...
No, that's the end of the treasure. Oh, okay. The end of the treasure is... Ha! I was alive, yeah. Idiots!
No, I'm the kind of guy who puts traps in his apartment for his girlfriend when he's gone.
Wait, traps?
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Like bear traps?
Yeah. A bit tamer than that, okay. But yeah.
Oh, like plastic in the doorway with like some goo on it.
Whatever.
Like when she opens up the door, she goes in. It's like, you know.
Oh yeah. Or putting sure. A mattress on stilts and have fall on
a little bit. Or having the
it's risky to be in a relationship with Liam. You never know.
You guys ever think about Home Alone and how those guys should be fucking dead?
every time. Absolutely. Every time.
Like the one where the tall guy gets electrocuted and turns into a fucking skeleton.
Yeah.
Though, like, Lance Longinus on the Moon is cool. I'd rather fund, like, the 2001 Domino.
Yeah, but nobody's doing it.
I know.
Like well, Lee, you're aware that Domino is a thing that will eventually be created due to need.
It'll be great.
But you don't need to, like, that concept is a thing that we will eventually make.
Same with the Lance. Maybe.
No.
Oh, no.
Just get on that perpetual motion and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Apparently that's real. I don't know.
Well, anyway, so there was that. There was a bunch more Front Mission 3. Fuck, that game was so good.
What path, Emma?
Yeah, I'm starting out with I went back to the first path. Yeah, Emma path. And I'm off the base. I'm customizing my parts. Yeah. I'm doing it, and there's nothing remote. Like the slightest negative thing I could say is. The conversation parts are like they got rid of an overworld and just made it a series of menus to talk to people.
Yeah.
Which is actually faster and more efficient.
Way
and
faster. Get back to the robots.
I don't even care that I don't have a world to run around in.
How you liking that fake internet? Because, like, you saw at the beginning in the video, it's like, but that doesn't impress upon you the scale.
It's too much.
It's absurd.
I tapped out.
It's absurd.
Tapped out of fake internet.
I tapped out of the fake internet.
It's your favorite thing in the world.
I had a guy message me on Twitter saying, "Pat, help! I'm stuck reading the JDF percentage deployments for every region in Japan."
When someone says they gave me a new site to check out, I'll go check out the front page, a page or two, and back the fuck out. Because it's too much.
Dude, the one super side quest in that game requires you to go to a goddamn website and sign up for their mailing list. And then and then fucking email them back, and then they'll give you, like, a secret deep web website to visit.
It's the coolest! Dude, it's just perfect so far. I'm way in on that.
The coolest thing in this mecha game is the fake internet.
Fuck these mecha.
Yeah. Right.
And the last thing I did was, and a couple friends' recommendations. I checked out the new. This is again talking to the new Kendrick Lamar album. Rap.
Is that the music. One where he's doing the Chunin-bio thing?
This is not that one. This is the one. It's called To Pimp a Butterfly, and it's actually pretty deep and interesting. Very soulful.
Much like that new DMX album.
Much like that new DMX
Redemption
of the Dog or whatever the fuck. Yeah. No. Because the kind of rap that I like, and I think Matt, you would probably like if you kind of kept going down, was like stuff that's a bit more conscious and perhaps
lightning sissy stuff.
Yeah, like sissy stuff, and you know, and that's generally what I tend to prefer.
High sissy rap,
exactly. And maybe. And in this case, it's like there's a lot of that sort of like rapping over some like funk jazz kind of things going on. Starts off pretty cool and then ends up really, really strong. There's an awesome second to last track.
And I thought you were going to say like tanking.
Dark.
No, I thought you were going to say
ends really dark.
No, yeah. there's the second to last track is like he's performing a song live and it's a recording of like a fight breaks out in the audience. So he starts freestyling to try and calm them down. And actually,
that doesn't work. No, it should amp up the fight.
I thought freestyle causes chairs to weigh less.
No, it was, and thus
lift off the floor of their own accord.
Now I am upset. Yeah, exactly. Boondocks rules. No, but it he straight up put a recording of this thing that happened, and it worked.
That sounds really interesting.
It is,
which is not something you say about a lot of albums. Period. Is that there's. Like an actual interesting.
There's healing properties in this song.
Did you know that the word niggas, not the one you're thinking of, The other one, which is N-E-G-U-S, is an actual word for Ethiopian king. It's fucking... Yeah, there's a twist on that.
I'll take your word for it and not engage this conversation. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. But I'm saying, like, wordplay is clever and interesting, and you can do things with that. And it's like, huh, dude's smart.
Yeah, but now I can't. I'm like, oh, I can't do the wordplay.
Exclude everybody.
But, and the last
track... You guys have all the advantages.
And the last thing I want to say is just the last track on it, and we...
I wouldn't give to be in your shoes. Silver spoon.
Oh, I am such an asshole. Oh my god. Alright.
The last thing I want to say is that the last track on it is probably the only time I've heard people using Tupac's dead voice in a non-embarrassing way.
Okay.
Because every time I hear it,
possible?
Anytime I hear you're cutting Tupac clips,
how
does
it make sound when you're dead?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Every time I hear someone using it in some way, I just go, "What the fuck are you doing? Stop it!" It's you're just it's the worst.
Tupac's mom gotta eat, man.
You say that, but there's stories there. You know, of course there is.
Has to be.
It's the fucking music industry.
But yeah, this is one of the few times where it's like, actually, that was interesting because he just kind of has a conversation.
Tupac probably has the fucking Lord Genome fucking going on.
Oh man, dude, like you want the Biggie and Tupac are like the Kamina of like the hip hop world.
Yeah, who's roasting you here? Who's keeping Tupac's head alive in a jar for the future?
Suge Knight.
Yeah.
Before he goes to jail again, fuck.
And has another heart attack in the courtroom.
Let me in the movie, guys. I want to be in the movie.
God damn it, Shook! You were in the movie for like 10 seconds, and there are murders!
Like, yeah! Can't help it, man. Can't help it. So that's all I gotta say besides that.
God damn it, Shook Knight.
Matt, how'd it go?
I was telling Liam about this. I read Avengers versus X-Men, from start to finish.
Can I ask a really stupid question? Yes. Aren't some of the Avengers X-Men?
Well, that's the thing.
They moonlight.
Whoever is currently on that team chooses sides, because the conflict Now, let's be real. We all hate Cyclops. Everyone hates Cyclops. Everyone agrees.
Except for when he was right, Clops. But...
So this happens after House of M, and for those that don't know, House of M is Scarlet Witch goes nuts, Scarlet Witch is super powerful. At the end, takeaway is that all mutants, except for maybe 200 or so, are all gone. Everyone just loses their powers.
Yeah, the X-Men core theme of mutants as the next phase of humanity
goes away.
Completely
and now
done.
They're endangered. So Cyclops goes, hey, this woman from the future, Hope Summers, that Cable raised in the future, she came... whatever, she's our mutant messiah. We should do whatever it takes to keep her safe, and she'll do something. The Phoenix Force is coming back. It obviously wants to go into her. We should make sure that happens. And Cyclops goes, because the Phoenix Force is awesome. Despite everyone going, didn't that turn out really badly?
Didn't you have to kill your wife like 8 times and then cheat on her while she was dead because of the Phoenix Force?
So the Avengers catch wind that the Phoenix Force has come back and goes, we have to protect this girl, Hope, put her somewhere and figure out what we're going to do because the Phoenix Force is so powerful. And Scott goes, no! Don't touch her! And then Hope goes, well, Cyclops, isn't it my choice? No! He literally goes, no, you're too important. You have no say in this. And let's say we're all very ambivalent towards Cyclops.
This is a moral extreme that you cannot
apply. If you read this, there's no way you can get a takeaway other than this is the biggest dick I've ever seen. As it goes on, everyone on the X-Men team goes, yo, Cyclops, this is... no, we gotta stop this. No! Shut up! Everyone shut your stupid faces. The Avengers are dumb. And then everyone starts turning on Cyclops. Xavier goes, you're the biggest disappointment to me ever. And he goes, shut up! Up until the end, people have died, characters have died, I'm trying to give as least spoilers, but the last conversation is some character is having a conversation with Cyclops is now in a bad position, and then Cyclops goes, well, you know, some bad things happened, but it all turned out okay. And then the other character goes, don't you dare turn this into a win. Okay. This was not a win, and I can't believe you're trying to make... Look at all the bad things that happened. And Cyclops goes, yeah.
Right. I got some good hits in, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the other guy goes, like, you're the worst, and we hope you're going to learn your lesson, but you're never coming out of the hole that we're putting you in. And I'm like, did Marvel know that everyone hates this character? Because I read it. I'm like, if I had known...
It flip-flops.
Wow.
It's so one-sided as it goes on.
When Cyclops' character changes and he becomes more totalitarian and less willing to take people's shit, he walks the tightrope of people that hated him for being a goody-two-shoes and people that hate him because he's now a fucking supervillain.
Yeah.
Which is the arc that a team leader usually goes through. You know?
But at the end of this
But the
this
example that, it, like, people always post the things of, like, no, but check him out, though. He got the Phoenix Force. Look at him being badass with the Phoenix Force.
That doesn't change the fact that he's a fucking asshole.
He becomes even more of an asshole.
But the thing is that definitely in the downtime from when we last picked up and there were different arcs where he would vary from the core problem with Cyclops, this
particular story was just like, no, everyone, you have to hate him.
Like, my core problem with Cyclops has always been the same, and every time I hear something new, it's always the same. It's like, hey, Scott, how about you pull your head out of your fucking ass?
Wolverine has a really good line where all the X-Men are like, I can't believe you're being a traitor, Wolverine. Why are you fighting for the Avengers? And he goes, how about all of you pull your heads out of Cyclops' ass? He says that, and like, I'm not paraphrasing. And he goes, how about you do that for a second?
Yeah.
Spider-Man was also fine on the Avengers side. He has a really good line, goes, look, kid, and he's telling like Hope Summers, who's like, I don't know, like 18 or something. He goes, look, when you're the Avengers, there's so many of us, we're all really powerful. What you should just do is just say yes to the guy who's in charge, be it Cap, be it Iron Man, just nod, and when you have your time, you'll have your time, and you'll get to do a cool thing. And Spider-Man gets to do a cool thing later, and he replays his own thing in his head.
He's
like, I'm doing my cool thing now, and he comes out better for it. But I thought it was really hilarious. And also, amazing art. Every issue, some of it is written, drawn by different guys, but amazing art. If you want to read it, Willie, you're welcome to it.
Thank you.
It's really awesome. Really quickly, also, I also marathoned a series on Netflix called Garfunkel and Oates. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard the name, but nothing else.
It's a little two girls that did these little YouTube videos of these really funny songs, like,
oh yeah, I know them.
Like, pregnant women, you suck. Shut up.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. It's amazing.
And hand jobs are really hard to give.
So no, so
I don't get it. Am I supposed to do this?
No, that's the thing. Is like beyond it's Kimmy Schmidt. Like, my girlfriend has gotten into a bunch of shows like that. Like, Garfunkel and Oates is one of them. Broad City is another one.
Yeah, I heard
there's a couple of different things. Or the one that you mentioned before a while ago, I forgot her name is in it. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. There's a couple of, like, two girls just being dicks kind of setup shows that are great.
And this is only 8 episodes. It was on IFC, same channel as Portlandia. So guess what? A lot of Portlandia overlap. Some guys show
Fred,
up.
Fred, get out of here.
Fred, not Fred, but some other people show up. And I'm like, oh, nice. And the show is, like, very different from Kimmy Schmidt. It's, like, not nearly as cartoonish, and especially towards the end of Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
But it was really clever, and some of the songs are really amazing. Some of them go on a little bit too long, but all of it was, like, really, really, really funny situations. More like Curb. Not nearly as awkward, but a little leaning more.
That's
like
the
Curb.
Least descriptive thing you could have ever said is less awkward than Curb.
Yeah, but, I mean,
that runs the gamut all the way down.
You're not much. There's not much left after.
Like, there's
that.
Not much more awkward than a fist fight with a Jesus in California Christmas talking about pubic hairs in front of your wife's family.
But, like, for example, one of the episodes, two of the girls go, you know what? Men really like women that don't talk. It seems. Why don't we start a relationship with these two guys that we meet and let's see how far we can take this? So one of them just doesn't talk, and the other guy's just telling him everything. He goes, oh, so, yeah, like, you really understand, because you're an orphan too, like me, right? And she just goes, like, and then someone's talking about random internet pop culture in her presence, and she always corrects people. And these guys are saying all this bad stuff, misremembering, and she freaks out and yells, "No, he started that!" Blah 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 blah.
It's over 9,000, not 8,000, dipshit.
Exactly. It
depends
like
on
that.
Which one you watch.
The other girl.
That's why.
The other girl is kind of childish. Kate, I believe, and she's kind of childish. She's very small stature. She likes puppets and whatever. She's very, like, you know, sort of immature for her age, but she's also trying the no talking thing. And then the guy just happened to go, "Hey, does anyone want, I got juice boxes," and she goes, she just like nods her head, yeah, and she takes a juice box. So towards the end, he's like having a picnic with her. He's like, "You're so nice. I need to know, like, what do you have? Are you slow? Like, I'm just really into that." And she goes, "What? You think I'm like this?" He goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "What? That's so offensive." Then she replays back in her mind everything that she's done. And she goes, "Oh, wait, yeah. I could see how it seemed like that." And then he goes, "Yeah. And like, what are with your clothes? They're so..." And she goes, "What? No, this is just my clothes." And she just wears like shirts with like little deer on them. Right. He goes, "Oh." So both girls did the same thing and both went on wildly different tangents.
Yeah, you're right.
And like, again, the show just kind of ends because apparently I think it was canceled like after the 8th episode.
Which that means you can watch all of them.
You can watch
before
all of
the
them.
End of this podcast.
And really quickly,
how long
Liam,
do you think this podcast is going to be?
We got to roll. We got to roll.
And really quickly, Liam did it too. But, you know, if you want to try it, Fast and the Furious Forza is free.
Yes.
And it's pretty decent.
Is it free if you don't have...
It's just a standalone free thing for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. That's totally
right. If you feel shameless enough to download a product placement thing like that, you will get a very good racing game out of it.
In theaters, August 8th.
Yeah, exactly.
April 3rd.
Go. Okay.
Whatever.
And aside from Bloodborne, which I already talked about, I played tons of Asako. Asako is fucking awesome. In, new waifu.
In Killer Instinct, that is.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Well, she's kind of...
She can unhinge her jaw.
She can... it's useful.
That's worth something.
And the thing about it, I think I was told Wooly, is
look
that like...
fucking face!
She'll eat you.
Is that Keats was on
Ghost
Twitter...
Powers.
Keats is on Twitter just going, "I watched hours and hours of Hisako streaming. No one understands her. No one's playing her at all.
I'm better than everyone."
Well, basically, that's what Keats is like sometimes when it's a character of his own design or he helped out.
Yeah, no shit, no one understands her like the designer.
No, but I haven't seen him say anything about Lakonra. He's like, "Yeah, you're playing Konra or whatever." But he's like, "No one's playing her."
She's a weird, goofy counter-hit character. It's not intuitive.
Counter-grappler.
They need to fly in some Japanese dudes and like some specifically ST-playing Japanese dudes to understand what he's getting at. But yes, let's roll.
Yes.
News. So first up, I want to super push something that actually I missed last week, but there is a documentary being made about Patrice O'Neill.
Whoa!
And it is on Indiegogo, and it is being put together by a filmmaker, a team of pretty good people.
Tell me Ed Norton's working on this.
You mean Jim Norton?
Whatever, same difference.
Jim Norton's in it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But some other people. Ed Norton's...
Edward Norton.
Ed Norton. You fucking... God. Anyway.
Tell me Ed Norton will be playing Jim Norton.
And
as the Hulk.
And Patrice's girl, Vaughn, is also, you know, like, christened it and whatnot. So, check it out. Put a link to it.
Fucking
if you like
stupid,
Patrice
what do you want from me?
If you like Patrice O'Neill, this funny motherfucker.
It's just like...
Kind of a huge asshole,
but
awesome.
Funny
motherfucker.
And if you don't know who he is, go watch the special Elephant in the Room that he made before he died.
Yeah.
And see why he's so fucking funny.
He's
wrong amazing. About Face Off, but whatever.
He changes minds.
He's so right. He changes the entire room's mind.
Yeah.
It's great.
No.
No, his mind got changed.
No, his
so is it just like know, a, is it just like a retrospective on his career, I guess?
It's just the life, you know?
Okay.
Life
as long as it's not a mockumentary.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta go listen to that clip again. It's like, "You changed my mind about Face Off. Yeah. I came in here defending it, but you convinced me it was stupid."
Ah, that movie's so garbage!
you can't take it.
I think that's part of where, like,
fucking
the epitome of my out of control noise laugh, the squeal laugh,
is where Patrice starts.
Picks up.
Yes. So, with that being said, actual news. One.
It's like a fucking squeal. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You YouTube Live is going to be announced at E3. YouTube has an answer for Twitch, apparently, and they're calling it YouTube Live, which...
Now fight. It's a relaunch of their streaming service.
Let them fight.
Because they didn't get to buy Twitch. They almost did.
And their streaming just never really took off in that way.
So now they're
going
to
rebrand it, relaunch it.
And yeah, this, rebranding it, improving this it, the whole sort game. Of like pre-announcement thing makes a lot of sense as to why, Matt, if you'll remember... We were walking around at PAX wondering, why does YouTube have such a big booth presence here?
Yeah, like, what do you
Why are
do?
They handing out YouTube bags?
They're and setting it up.
What are they doing? And it was they're like, oh, this was the counter Twitch booth, sort of,
yeah, in advance.
Just to go, Twitch booth was
just,
huge.
Just to go, hey, we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it, you know?
Get your foot in the door, right?
Like, right away, all they have to say is, hey, no 30-second delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's... There's benefits to that.
Yeah, like, there is.
People get but free stuff for watching your videos.
Yeah, exactly.
You should win things by watching.
Yeah. Now you got it.
And if you watch this video, we'll send you a Pomeranian.
And apparently...
If you get a million subscribers, we'll send you a platinum medal in 10 years.
I never got any.
Never got
the
silver. Never got the...
Never
got
the play
button. No, nothing.
It shit blew up too fast.
We should go down to the YouTube office around here and just be like, you lose your plaque!
Yeah.
No, who cares?
The...
who gives a shit?
I was gonna say the announcement too came hand in hand with them saying that apparently they've already started working with some game companies and
making some
deals and so on. So we'll see.
Ubisoft is gonna have a full partnership with YouTube.
It'll
for
be
Rainbow Six Siege
instead streaming. Of we'll instead watch. Of Twitch integration. Bam. We'll see YouTube integration and
on our consoles. That's the question.
All sorts of goofy.
Well,
shit.
Well, probably that's right next to it. You know, I don't think it'll be like because. On
Ustream
PS,
still
on
exists,
PS4,
right?
You have Ustream in addition to Twitch.
Yeah, that's true, so. because Twitch was just in TV.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, Ustream
should be interesting.
I always, next to it. When I first saw it or heard of Justin TV, I literally thought Justin Wong owned it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was his own website
this,
or
does
channel.
This mean we'll see a sequel to Salty Bet?
Salty Bet 2. Saltier.
Salty Bet 2. Saltening.
Saltier.
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, that could be important. That could be a big deal. We'll find out more. This is kind of interesting. There's going to be an adaptation of Ready Player One directed by Steven Spielberg.
I saw that. I'm very excited.
Weird. Finally, Pixels has a challenger.
Have you read the book? Or
no. So here's what's fun.
Very good book.
Dude, the timing of this, because last month's Loot Crate came with a copy of Ready Player One in it.
They knew!
So,
they knew!
It was before this dropped?
They must have
known. I would think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's an interesting thing.
This is going to be super hot.
Yeah, Ready
Apparently
Player
the
One.
The book is quite good.
I highly recommend the book. I haven't read it, but you
Liam
have
read it.
And a lot of people say it's very good.
What's it about?
About
I don't want to spoil anything.
It's about space porn?
Yes. Great.
Well, I think you can
No, that's Rule 34
a
of the book.
Virtual,
oh, no.
That's a novel.
No.
Can you say a virtual landscape in which main character has to go through 80s references?
Yeah,
that seems to be as vague as we can.
Yeah.
Is it like Sword Art Online?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, oh,
yes,
watching... Online.
Steven Spielberg is directing a Sword Art Online
I want to
movie.
Point out, there was a huge wave of social media presence
Leonardo
that hit me
DiCaprio
and hit me and probably Liam recently because Sword Art Online 2 just went up on Toonami or fucking in English. And just this huge wave of people that were like, oh, let me check out this fucking... No! Ah!
So sad. Man, that show's still going. But you keep pushing it and pimping it.
No.
The fact that you keep talking, it spurs more people. So just stop talking
about
it.
You know what? I'm excited for the next game.
How do you translate glop into English?
No, that's a universal word.
It's glop, man.
It's a universal concept.
Okay, all right.
When you glop 5 years of love into your... Lover,
just check.
Stop.
It. I can't. It's all over.
Did you guys? Speaking of,
glop noisily.
Speaking of anime and 80s things.
Yes.
Did any of you catch the TIE Fighter short?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, fuck, that was cool.
Pretty impressive.
Four years. To
it's
make
never,
this
it's
basic...
not
going to
be a thing. But
it's a fan-made short.
I know, but you want it to be a thing.
What are you going to do?
It's been a hot couple weeks with like Power Rangers and this.
Yeah, absolutely. And
fans showing them how it's done.
Otak King, the guy that put this out.
That's
with
a good
team.
Goddamn name.
And I'm pretty sure it's a reference to Takano Video, but either way. This was a the style of them going into the cockpits of the TIE fighters and TIE Advanced, yeah. showing you the personalities slightly, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and then like, oh fuck, the lighting was great. I put a link to it if you haven't seen it's it. Good check stuff. It out.
Yeah.
If you just good old Star
it's
Wars.
It's like 9 minutes, right?
Yeah, something like
perhaps,
yeah.
perhaps shorter.
I think it's seven. Yeah,
but it focuses on just the Empire.
Yeah,
which is
because guess what? The Empire's is more cooler than the Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
like, you know.
We've already heard that half of the story a million times.
Yeah, oh, they won.
Yeah.
I want to know about that Empire guy that wears the dumb hat.
Grand Moff Tarkin?
Which all one?
No, I mean, like, how every Empire guy, like, those lieutenants that control Stormtroopers,
they wear a little flat hat.
Yeah. I love those guys.
It's like, how many different ways can we remind you of Germany? Okay, got it. there's the launch trailer for Forgotten Memories that went up.
That was a really good trailer. I was really happy with it, actually.
So Guy Sihi was a tease.
He was right at the end.
Barely squeaked in.
Because if you recall, he told us, I think he's like not in the first episode.
Yeah.
And he comes in the second part.
One more, yeah.
And I'm impressive for iOS.
And I'm glad at the end it says PC, Vita, Wii U, so hopefully like a PC version at least will look better than the iOS 2 as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I hope that comes out in time for a thing, but hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see, but...
Yeah.
And maybe we'll just talk to him again and find out more news we're not supposed to know.
We don't know if we were not supposed to not know it.
He was announced, his character, his staff announcement was announced the day before our podcast.
Yeah,
it
was very timely.
Really on their Facebook.
Right? But we didn't know at the time.
As of the time that we heard it, it had been news for like 3 hours.
Right.
But it was great seeing when he said that, and I just see Wooly like holding on to his collar, just going,
Amigo, wide eyed, like, uh oh. Because voice actors are the easiest people in the world to get to spill the beans.
Yeah.
Like, because you grab a voice actor on Metal Gear Solid, for example, tell me about stuff that you're not supposed to talk about. Yeah, I'm in Mortal Kombat. What Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
And he's not.
Yeah.
What was that?
What the fuck was he working on that he thought was Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
But you notice in that Forgotten Memories trailer, it's like it shows all these mannequin like imagery. Then I'm like, oh, the mannequins are just kind of there. Then the last stinger shot, all the mannequins do an awesome move, and I was like, oh, it looks good, looks good.
That's the creeps.
Yeah.
Fucking goddamn motherfucking Bo Raicho lives.
He's back to save
He slimmed down.
Combat.
He slimmed down. You see
he filled out.
Fucker. They actually went, like, everyone that's tweeting at Boone going, Bo Raicho! And he's like, no.
Dude.
Never.
I was more happy.
For years, I've been saying he needs to make a comeback.
It was so awesome where I got to show that to Liam, where Liam came over to record some stuff, and I go, hey, did you see the Mortal Kombat X announcement, right? He's like, no, what? I'm like, look, here's a trailer. And then it went by so fast, Liam's like, wait, what? What was that? I'm like, did you see him?
He's walking down a hallway with...
And then rewind a bit, and Liam's like, ah, cool!
Yeah.
Such a stupid character.
He's the best. I do not think he'll be playable.
No, me neither. Borracho means drunk in Spanish.
Ish. Keep an eye out for the Suhao.
Maybe he'll be in the DLC.
No, Suhao gets killed in the Mortal Kombat X comic the first time he shows up.
Sick. Does he get killed by Aaron Black?
I saw the gameplay for Aaron Black and Shinnok and
Aaron Black
Kang came out, and I like the new Shinnok.
Shinnok is way cooler than Shinnok has any right to be.
Yeah, because they made him Bram Stoker's Dracula.
You made him Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Man with no name in fighting game is just the easiest and just simple, but it's awesome every time.
Also, his X-ray where he etches someone, the person
the,
that he's
the name
fighting
is
name
on the bullet.
Yeah,
that's
good
awesome.
Stuff. That's good
right? You remember Face from Battle Fantasia?
Yeah.
Like that, you know? Just I'm just going to throw an occasional line out, but whatever. Fucking gunslinger.
I'll sound cool and Texan.
Mm.
It's great. Not even that Texan, though.
I don't know the difference, man. Just down there.
In that place.
South. Y'all. Yeah.
But that's fun times.
Man, people still say y'all.
I say y'all.
My mom says y'all. That's not...
It's crazy.
Your mom's from Texas?
You know, the West Indies is...
It's basically just America.
It's really just America's hat. Anyway.
Aaron Black,
man,
and they
this is really
guy.
Confusing.
Oh, yeah, Liu Kang.
Yeah.
Liu Kang being...
I'm still not a fan of, his design is still really boring.
I really like his NetherRealm design. Where he's a zombie.
The zombie ones are.
I really like it. His standard human design looks like
flashback design.
Well, no, it's not.
No, it's like he's got burning eyes and like.
No, but there's flashback Liu Kang and that we see in the trailer as well.
I think
young when like they're going on.
No,
when the part where Raiden goes, oh, I regret that.
And
when he looks like Chinese
I'm
guy.
I'm pretty sure that's the start of the game when you'll save them or whatever.
But it's flashback Liu Kang, I think.
Hey, we don't know yet.
Anyway.
No, because there's a shot of like that Liu Kang throwing fireballs at SWAT team members with Quan Chi hiding behind a rock.
Yeah.
I'm pretty...
Yeah. Which could have taken place at any point during the timeline.
Yeah, oh, true. The fact that you like, go back and look at that trailer and freeze frame it and look at Quan Chi hiding behind the rock. It is the funniest thing.
It's really good.
It is hilarious.
His fatality is really lame, though. It's just rip out your throat and
put
stuff
it in your mouth.
The throat meat into your mouth, I guess.
It's all right.
Make it haggish.
I think it's kind of like super average as well.
The second one has to be the dragon.
No, they can't.
The arcade cabinet.
Yeah, drop the arcade cabinet. Because
it has to be a Mortal Kombat X arcade cabinet and have it make no sense at all.
Yeah. Did you see the new Tekken character?
Yes.
Yeah. Elise?
No.
Josie.
That was it.
Josie.
Devil Jin and Jin.
Yeah, Devil Jin and Jin.
Again, not a huge fan of this new Tekken character. Again, the only new Tekken 7 character I like is God, what's his name now? Saudi Arabia guy.
Yeah, he's the best.
What's his name? Shaheen? Yeah, still, Shaheen. Like, everyone else I've been kind of really ambivalent towards.
I completely disagree. I think Josie Rizal's really cool.
Now that Eddie Gordo's dead.
She's a Filipino kickboxer.
No, she replaces Bruce, dude.
She's got a different moveset, yeah.
She replaces Bruce.
Right, it would be Bruce. Yeah, yeah, I confused Bruce and Eddie's name.
Kickboxer. She's got some cool dodge-type things going on. And I think her design's pretty cool. And I found out that...
Yeah, because you're an asshole.
Yeah, and you know what? Apparently she was designed by the lead concept designer on a little game called Bayonetta. So
I don't like the character design at all.
Wow, because her design is way shittier than anything in Bayonetta.
Yeah, I disagree.
You think
that's better than stuff in Bayonetta?
I don't think it's better than Bayonetta, like, but I think it's a good character design.
I think half the characters in Tekken are shit.
I think okay.
They're just.
But now you're going back.
No wait,
time.
You know what? Hold on. I know what you're going to say. He's not wrong, but it still makes me a little bit angry.
Because they're just girl or man
not
with
wrong,
martial
though.
Art and regular clothes.
You're not wrong, actually.
And it's like,
which is what I actually want out of my fighting games.
Yeah, but when I see some of the cooler characters in Tekken, it makes me yearn for more of them.
I'm not a fan of Jin's arm stuff.
Oh,
but,
me either.
But the hood is back, and that's all I care about.
That Jin redesign was the best.
The German
ever.
Characters are awful. Like, I'm not going to pretend.
The who characters?
The German characters.
German?
Yeah. From fucking what's his
name?
Lars and
he's
Swedish
dude.
Oh shit! I thought he was
the only German character. Is Dragunov.
Well, I thought because he was Boskanovich.
No,
Boskanovich is Russian.
Leo's German.
Leo
is German.
Dragunov.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I thought.
Do you just want to say European?
I want to say no.
You
I want to
say
Lars
Eastern
and Elisa.
Lars is bad, and I also don't like.
I think they're bad characters.
Yeah, Elisa's really.
I really don't like those. But at the same time,
Lars has anime hair. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, like what's his name? The dude is just Blade.
I like Asuka. I like Asuka a lot.
Asuka's
for sure.
Raven's.
I don't know. Yeah, but there's
maybe
lots
it's
of
just
like the more recent ones. But like, I'm not feeling the new Tekken 7 characters very much at all. Even Shaheen,
the new Tekken 6
really
characters,
really
I don't care for.
And that's why I'm saying it's like it's yeah, you can go half and half enough because it's like who's gonna shit on Dragunov right now?
No, Dragunov's fine.
No one, right?
Dragunov's fine.
Thank you. So yeah,
who's gonna shit on Yoshimitsu in any of his incarnations?
No one.
Tekken 4.
I love the
bug.
Yeah,
the bug
awesome.
Is great. The bug is great.
Mm. He looks like fucking Stun the Insect.
I know you're gonna say Stun the Insect.
Yeah. But
then
no.
Why would you think that I wouldn't like that?
Yeah, you're right.
But all that to say that I think like between the stuff that they've introduced for 7 so far, Shaheen and Josie are like on the yay, you did a good job side, and the rest are whatever.
No.
I think out of any Tekken, this has the weakest lineup of new characters by far compared
to
every other one.
I don't like Josie either.
Not the worst, like not like offensively bad, just out of every other Tekken, like Tekken 3, amazing new characters. Jin, Zhao Yu.
Nothing's ever going to beat fucking Tekken 3.
Even 4, Craig, Christy, whatever, Tekken
new
5.
Jin.
Tekken 5, Lei Wang, Lei Feng, I'm Fang or whatever, I always forget his name. And then Tekken 6. Actually, wait, hold on. Tekken 6 was Lars.
Bob, Leo.
Bob, Leo.
Yeah. And Lisa. Okay, it's a tough.
And the lady with the pointy
snake, fingers. Snake girl, Zafina.
Zafina.
Zafina. Yeah.
Zafina's terrible.
Tekken 6.
I can't say it. She's not great.
But the actual Tekken 7 game, I'm more or less excited.
Like
for.
I said, the supers look pretty solid.
Does it come with a demo of Summer Lesson?
Well, yeah, I hope so.
That'll sell units.
Which we call with focus attack type armor hits as
man,
well.
I want
I just think we're gonna like we're always just gonna agree to disagree type of thing, because it's kinda like if you tapped out of the franchise.
We'll all agree that you're wrong and then you can disagree.
And you can agree that again, you tapped out of the franchise
early on,
you're commenting from a distance.
What are you talking about? I've played every Tekken more than you!
You play Tekken way more.
I just don't think that just because she shares character designer with Bayo, she's a good designer.
No, and that's not the reason
why. Okay, you seem to say it that way.
No, I'm just putting that up. I'm just putting that up because I like the
character. Sure, okay.
Yeah, anyway. And, I'd strongly debate that.
Name me the other girl and the other guy in Tekken 7.
Yeah, the ones that cause
there's another girl
like
and then
Lucky
there's another
Chloe,
guy,
right?
No, not Lucky Chloe. There's another girl and then there's another guy.
Yeah, no, exactly. No
rage
no.
Remember the other girl is just this party girl that wears nothing.
No.
Yeah.
That's complete. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that don't remember.
There's two other characters.
Why can't this be like Virtua Fighter where every new character is a celebration?
I've never seen Liam have a more confused face.
Yeah,
all right, next subject.
Every new Virtua Fighter character is a reason to shout from the heavens and rooftops and be like, yay, Jean Cujo is awesome.
Yeah.
Bring back to
no, it goes awesome, and they're all great. They're all great.
I will stab you if you say something about Virtua Fighter being dead.
A lot of Virtua character fighters suck. As
I have keys
because they're just guy with martial art as well.
Yeah, but no one. But their genericness helps.
No one has to say anything.
In a backwards kind
life
of way.
Life can continue as it
so
is.
So what you're saying is I should just stab you with my keys anyway?
Stab you yourself, because you know deep in your heart that it's true.
No, don't do that.
It's
no,
dead, man.
No.
Claudio and Katarina.
Show me.
I think I heard their names once. But...
like, I don't know who these fucking characters are, and it's just like blowing me away.
Her.
Oh, I saw her with all the kicks. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And Claudio, which I don't
know
even remember.
Seen.
No, he's a dude.
I know he's there, but I don't know that he exists.
You're going to show us a picture and it's going to be nothing.
I've never seen that character.
Guy Man. Look at him.
Guy Man with...
He's
jacket.
Kane Highwind with black hair.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Howard.
Whatever.
It's a duck running a company. That's crazy.
Is the mirror mode. Mirror mode's fucking sick. You see that?
I do.
That's for online, right?
That's for online or in arcades. You can pick whichever side of the screen you want to start on.
And they'll just...
It'll just
flip the camera.
Yeah, sorry, that's what you mean.
I
absolutely
feel like that was in another game, though.
I also feel
it may have been, but like for some reason it's omitted from every single fighting game under the sun,
and
so Amco it's nice
probably
to
owns it now.
It's just like, yeah, you want left or right. It's going to be the same. The camera will be different.
Every fighting game should have this. Just
you,
every
no, you
fighting game
you know
should.
Well, every 3D fighting game.
Why?
How do you do that in 2D?
Just mirrors the image.
But reverse the actual stage? And
yeah, what does it matter?
And stuff?
No, just reverse the inputs. Just reverse the other player's inputs. Whenever he presses left, it hits right.
It's super easy, dude.
Yeah, I guess.
So here's what makes this feature... They need to add one little addendum
little
to this
nudge.
Feature that makes it just the best. It should tell you what side the other guy picked... So you can throw them to the other side that they're bad on.
I'm bad on this.
How it works,
you know what though?
Because they get to pick whatever side they
but here's
want.
But here's the shit though.
No,
there's...
but like, say it says this guy always picks the left side of the stage. Then throw
there
him
are...
so that he's facing left.
What, in a local match?
There are setups and combos and shenanigans that only work on one side of the screen versus the other sometimes.
Yeah.
Just letting you
that
know.
That sucks. That shouldn't be.
Like, in how many
it shouldn't
games,
be
like,
in every iteration.
This isn't fucking Justice League Task Force for like fucking Super Nintendo.
It's not great when it happens, but it's there.
Batman number two as the better sidekick or some shit?
A feature they should have.
But that would cause a desync if it happened.
We're stepping on Team Best
Friend. But this is still a feature they should have.
Yeah, they should have some magic.
I just think that it's safer to have a sort of like a camera rotation as opposed to like a mirror input.
Well, for 2D games,
that's a bit more riskier. I'd say
this is a bit of a backpedal, but really quickly, did you see that cool training mode in Mortal Kombat X where it's like the Special Forces holographic room?
I saw.
And then in the options, you switch it to have all holographic representations of all the stage interactables. Yeah.
Hmm.
So like the tiger cat that's in that marketplace, just out in the holographic representation is there.
Hey,
and whenever you see them, the holograms build like to reconfigure for all the other
stage. That stage looks like Killer Instinct to me.
Did they put the pig back in from Injustice?
There are pig substitutes, and I believe one of them is an
Blanche.
Old lady. Yeah, Blanche. Yeah.
Blanche, the old lady that you throw.
Good.
Pig advantage.
I thought that was really cool little feature.
Yeah.
So Zelda Wii U is no longer shipping this year.
Shocking! Damn it!
Everyone.
Yeah. Just. Remember when the rumors of that delay happened and people were like, no.
My girlfriend told me that the day they announced that it was coming 2015, I told her it was not coming out in 2015. And I was very happy she reminded me of that because I was second-guessing myself.
Did you watch the video,
though?
Like, course, yeah. So, very, the most direct,
the most Japanese,
directly to you,
of way of handling, like, a delay announcement that I've seen.
We're delaying it.
Like, just a video of man talking to you going,
is it Onuma?
Yeah. And he's like, hey, so, we found a bunch of cool ideas that we want time to fully develop.
So that we can, port it to the NX and have it be a launch game.
I didn't like the garbage.
With the new control scheme?
That's not happening. That's a threat.
No, it's not going to be Twilight
Princess. All right!
No Twilight Princess again.
Here comes the best.
That's a threat on NeoGAF that is getting.
You think we're gonna? You think it's gonna be another Twilight Princess?
I think it's gonna be another Twilight Princess.
I will go.
I have money in my fucking wallet that I will slap on this table.
I will
go
against that. I'll bet.
You'll bet what? $20?
I'll bet $20. It will not.
You will. It will not come out on the NX. Anybody want to take that?
I'll take that.
The same game on the same day is what he's saying. He's not saying because you just said on the NX.
The exact.
He's saying it won't.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. He means initial
the
launch.
Exact Twilight.
I mean, like, if you look at, the Twilight Princess, where it's like, they might mirror it, they might add a new feature, but it's like, you delayed this to port it to
like
the new
one. Like, a remaster a year down the line doesn't count.
No, it doesn't.
I just, yeah,
no,
same
like,
year.
Like and,
day one,
and if the game comes out on the Wii U, and then 6 months later, the NX comes out, and it's a launch title, I believe that should count.
Dude, the NX isn't coming out in 2016. There's no fucking way it's coming out in 2016. The Wii U has been out for two years and 8 months.
If anything, like
either
Zelda,
Xbox got killed at 4 years.
Zelda Wii U is like going to be the Wii U swan song type thing, not the launch of a new.
I'm backing out.
We convince you to back down.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Hey, okay, well.
As long as you have Star Fox,
I'm still getting $80 off
Liam
when Fantasy Star doesn't come out this year.
It's gonna come out, man.
Well, you did take the bet. Of course, you would believe in it.
It's gonna come out.
Well, we said this early on. Like, are you kidding me? You're gonna have Star Fox and Zelda both in 2015? There's no way.
Immediately, all of us.
But if Star Fox does not come out in 2015, fuck
off. There's
gonna
be some torches. Yeah.
There's gonna be no. I'm not a fan of that.
The only thing I wasn't a fan of in this announcement was Zelda will not be present at E3.
That's garbage.
You have nothing to show. Like.
You showed us gameplay. Like, it's not like it's a
really, really disappointing.
So it is
legitimately disappointing.
Is the phrase "we have a bunch of cool new ideas" code for "we're scrapping the entire game"?
That
you saw it,
almost.
That was my first thought.
Well, no,
that was my first thought.
They're gonna continue the open world.
But
doesn't scrap everything.
I think there's definitely some major time shifts for like, oh god, we gotta not
throw
do
a bunch of shit in the garbage.
But it's probably also what he said, which is expanding on the idea and so on. on. But I'm thinking, you know,
it's like you can't give me a song in a pre-rendered trailer. Like,
yeah,
give us a trailer.
Like the Skyward Sword,
like the Skyward Sword launch trailer. Yeah,
or not launch, but in the announcement trailer.
You can't tell us who's even in that fucking trailer, whether it's Link or Zelda.
Save it for a direct.
Oh, shove it,
right?
It's just a bummer.
Then don't even come to E3, Nintendo.
Well, they might have a bunch of new stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, they wouldn't mind.
Reggie's out in the parking lot giving hand jobs and yelling about Star Fox.
I don't get it.
Why do you? No, I don't either. I just started stringing words together.
Hey, would you buy Fatal Frame? No, I didn't think so.
I can't do this.
Here's an amiibo.
It's hard.
This is a hand job amiibo.
Is it a gold amiibo? No.
Anyway,
let me show you my crazy hand.
Oh, thank you, Liam. You saved it. It was terrible, yeah, and you just brought it back.
I'm kind of disappointed that he saved it. I kind of wanted it to just be super horrible.
Speaking of things getting saved, Erlen Toe Jam's Kickstarter succeeded.
I don't care.
I also don't care. I don't care.
All right. So,
Genesis kids.
I like Toe Jam and Earl. The 3D art looks terrible.
Yeah, that's awful.
Looks terrible. The animation looks terrible.
Well, you could always just go back to the originals.
I which did.
You could get off of this pretty insane Steam bundle that just popped up.
I already own them. They're on the Wii.
The 96 Sega game bundle.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, 96 Sega games for $80, 100 Canadian.
Buy them now because we're throwing the IPs in the trash.
Yeah, it's just about everything. When you go down
my the last hurrah,
first
man,
wise.
I said that and I kind of chuckled at myself, and I'm super depressed.
Is it everything?
Oh, you don't realize that's exactly what this is.
Oh God, it's too real.
It's the realest real.
Is that everything Sega has on Steam?
All right, here we go.
Are you not going to run down the whole list?
Just dump these original fucking debug models of Shining Force right into the dumpster.
Just because some of the PC ports that they did with, I think it was with Backbone, for like Shining Force and stuff, are pretty dodgy. So.
Yeah, well,
Shining Force 1,
Backbone,
to my knowledge, from what I played of it, seemed rock solid, but I might not have not played enough of it.
Like, oh, we got to throw out this Vector Man code because we're never going to use it again. Where is the Vector Man code? Well, it was already in the trash. You got to pull it back out and throw it back
God. Oh, I think the deal might be over. I think it was last weekend only.
We got to get it in the trash faster, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, anyway, God, it was 96 hurt. Sega games and then the first party games.
That's a fair deal.
It's everything.
Yeah. Hurts.
Is it Golden Axe Beast Rider?
I did it to myself.
If it had Valkyria Chronicles and Alien Isolation, it's worth it.
Alien Isolation.
But it's just like
the Valkyria Chronicles is a good ass game on Steam. It's fucking good.
Like, but once upon a time,
they fixed that sound bug.
This bundle was like fighting Nintendo and their IPs.
I don't know about these ones.
Yeah,
not all.
Every Sonic game's in there.
But Sonic will continue. It doesn't include Madden and NHL.
Kid,
the stuff that was fighting Nintendo.
Alex Kidd fought nothing.
Yeah, so you have no sports games of this thing that was fighting Nintendo it's on its way to the garbage. As Nintendo's involvement with the PC will be porting smartphone garbage to it. Oh, what a wonderful world we live in!
Can't wait for the Legend of Zelda Record Keeper.
They would never. Not with Zelda.
An app?
Okay,
they made a Pokemon.
Can we back up for a second?
The Pokemon company made the app.
Can we back up for a second?
No, sorry, not the app. The free-to-play game on 3DS that's like got stamina and premium currency.
Pokemon fits that sort of style. I don't see Zelda.
I take umbrage with a certain sentiment that I've seen since this fucking mobile thing has been happening with Nintendo, and it's the phrase that you just said, Matt. It's like, not with Zelda. Nintendo would never do that. Does everyone just forget about the Philips CDI games?
That was 20 years ago,
and
they were different people.
Dude. Precedent exists.
No, it doesn't.
The Final Fantasy VII cartridge is closer to that story than this is. Come on, like that was a completely different company, almost like.
And that was them,
different world.
That was when
it's because it's no always one... they would never do that with Zelda, despite the fact that they have already done that with Zelda.
Yes, 20 years ago, and when people mention it to them, CDIs, like, Miyamoto or Inuma goes, like, those are, like, horrible, stop talking about them, it's the darkest chapter ever.
No, I'll never stop because you not, fucked up.
No, because it's funny.
Yeah, but they know that they fucked up.
It's funny. You would, like, if there was just a mediocre release on of a Zelda game
somewhere,
yeah, but
I'm saying...
You wouldn't talk about that,
pretending,
but it's because it's hilariously bad.
Pretending that the Philips CDI Zeldas didn't happen will not help stop the new ones. It's like World War II. You have to remember that it happened so that you don't have World War III.
But the fact that you think the same decision-making power is like...
Miyamoto's still there.
Okay.
Yeah,
he let it happen.
Make decisions.
He let it happen.
He did. He ruined Sticker Star.
He fucking ruined Sticker Star.
He did. Whoever directed it.
No, it was Miyamoto sent orders down that crippled and ruined that game.
Alright.
No new characters? Right. What the fuck?
Agree to disagree.
Segment. New segments. Sometimes all you need is a title.
Okay.
This is the title of a video game.
Two girls, one cop.
Arena of Fate.
Innocent Love Granny Academy. Transfer student is a million years old.
What are you asking us?
I'm not asking you anything.
Then what is the segment?
It's the name of a game.
Is this
Japanese or Swedish?
This is Japanese.
I am declining to even like involve myself in this.
You want to see a picture?
I want to see this video game.
Yeah, all right. I'll look you up, Liam. Liam knows. Look at this fucking
Ghost
game.
Ghost Silicon-era. Oh, this is good.
Super tough grannies.
Who's making this game?
That are all buff. It's just some mobile thing. It's fucking, I don't know. But
that's solid.
And yeah.
That's money.
Yeah.
That's
money, by the way, right there.
Speaking of creepy anime bullshit, I checked out a bunch of fucking videos for Yandere Simulator. Man, that thing's coming along.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh, man. I watched the video where it's like, I've instituted the photo mode where you can take pictures of senpai and use them to calm yourself down after murders.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a really cool game,
isn't
it?
It's a really cool game.
It's the new Hitman.
I'm glad you followed up on the story. Yeah, there's some creepy stuff there. And like I said, it just Hitman plus anime. Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It works on so many levels.
Yep.
There was, and I guess this is more so movies, but that trailer for Spectre dropped.
Ooh, it's good.
Is that based off the game?
So fucking classy.
Yeah.
And just no action. Perfect.
Is that based off the game?
Yeah.
What game?
Are you serious?
No.
Fuck off.
What game?
Spectre VR.
That's not a
the
game.
The greatest PC game ever made.
Anyway.
That's a bold claim.
Anyway, so Spectre is the name of a group that were in the original 1950s novels. It's not based on a computer game from 15 years ago.
It's 007.
Older than 15
years. I'm surprised that
I saw a poster for that.
They kept the same Spectre logo. Like, I expected that to get updated, but they kept it the same.
Christoph Waltz is the villain. That's all I need.
Christoph Waltz is the villain, but the muscle is Batista. Yeah.
Man with the iron fists.
Is it Batista, or like tiny Asian girl Batista from Wrestling Isn't Wrestling?
No, it's Batista.
Oh man, that would be way better.
It would be.
Oh, she eats the Scrabble piece. I lose it.
I watched it again, I flip-flopped, and I was like, no, I like Girl Batista a lot now, too.
Girl Punk.
Stop it.
No,
stop
Girl
it.
Punk's still up there, but I keep flip-flopping.
That laptop throws the best.
Let's take some quick letters.
Hey, it's letter time. If you want to send a letter via electronic mail, send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
You did that for yourself.
After this letter segment, you'll hear from Matthew, and that limey prick has tons to say about wrestling.
Who?
Matthew.
Okay.
That's
he doesn't know how to spell his own name because it's not polite.
It's not proper.
He said the word Dreamcast during that interview. I listened.
Yeah, no, I heard it.
That's not the only thing you heard.
Because his house is made out of them.
It's like his voice is wearing a suit.
Andrew points out that he's been away from the podcast, but he's listening to us talking about watching things in release date order, such as with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And he wants to fucking school us on how people should watch Star Wars, apparently.
I've heard of this.
There's something
way.
Called Machete Order.
I've heard the Machete Order.
And Machete
yes.
is, I guess, the guy that came up with this thing. And what he presents is, long story short, 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
Yeah.
And the reason for this...
Wait, where's one?
You skip
in
one.
The list.
Because, because one actually has no relevance to anything.
And
nothing
right, no,
in
you're
it.
Right, you're
and
right.
Placing
it
in
wondering.
This
list takes away from what it
yeah.
has.
But you're right. And some of the bonuses added by the Machete Order are the fact that no Jar Jar. Jar Jar's basically
gone.
So, and that's like no midichlorians.
But the thing with the thing with this order, because I read down the full justification page of the write up of why, and
wait 4526
no
4523
45236 right. So
you go,
point
go Empire Strike Back
okay.
to Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
no. New Hope, Empire, then Attack of the
Clones,
Revenge of the Sith. Then Jedi.
No, yeah, I get it.
Right?
I get it. Yeah, that makes
sense. And so the basic reasoning is so that you start out on the strong note establishing Luke as this character you're following.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Then you get the cliffhanger of I'm your father.
Yeah, then you go back
you go
to see
back
where
to
that came from.
Anakin as just as an asshole.
And then you finish off
with the ending of both stories.
That's cool.
Right.
It's not going to take away the fact that two and three are
yeah,
steaming
there's
piles of shit.
Yeah, you still have to watch Attack of the Clones.
But you start strong and end strong.
Yeah, here's
right.
my fucking viewing order. 4, 5, 6.
Sure.
What about one?
Shut the fuck up!
Now, there's a couple of obviously inherent problems with it. And, you know, you kind of take those into account. And I think one of them... that he doesn't mention in his write-up of what he thinks the problems are is you're assuming that the person has not seen Star Wars but also hasn't, like, learned spoilers via osmosis.
Yeah.
Guess
yeah.
what? Luke, I am your father is the most commonly well-known spoiler in the world. It's
so
the most obvious thing.
This order, like, pretends that the person has never heard that.
Yeah. What? It's his dad!
Which is impossible.
This is for children.
It's
right?
impossible.
It's impossible.
No,
children
know. Children know.
Sure.
Children are too dumb to appreciate Star Wars.
I like the idea of it. It'd be interesting to experiment. That's not what I did with my girlfriend, but like putting one off into the distance to go like, and you could come back to this as a side story later.
But don't
as a side.
It's kind of interesting.
But don't.
I agree with putting one in the protective ball pit. That includes that CG
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
those two don't hurt each other or themselves.
Yeah,
or anyone else.
Or anyone else.
And it's like and when you remove it, you do so much by not showing Anakin ever being innocent. He's
Jar Jar.
Always a dick.
Yeah.
You never show you don't have the Qui-Gon introduction there, but you don't need that.
So you
no.
So without Qui-Gon being in the movie, when they talk about Qui-Gon being awesome, you just go with it instead of being like, no, he was an idiot.
All you get is
yeah.
bearded Obi-Wan training one guy and then training another guy.
The only thing you miss is pod racing.
Yes.
yeah.
And there's a game for that.
And so, Darth Maul.
So
yeah, no, just watch the 9-minute breakdown of Darth Maul on YouTube.
So thanks for that, Andrew. That's actually kind of interesting.
Mm.
It would be. It's a thought experiment.
Watch
it
in release order, though. Still everything.
Carlos wants to know: are you willing to sacrifice your memories in order to gain power?
Okay, what power and what memories? These
all
are so
memories?
Important.
Yeah.
So important. I would assume starting with your earliest memories.
Uh huh.
And, like, fucking crazy superhero.
I would assume all of them.
I need a sliding scale, because my answer's going to be extreme no matter how much you slice it.
If you get rid of all your memories and you have no experience, therefore, and no, like, lessons about life, therefore you get powers and you could be a total asshole.
Can I selectively pick these?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think you just start at one point and then you just go the other way.
I think you just lose it all.
Oh, everything
okay.
for everything?
Because
I would sacrifice half.
We need to put a footnote to this. This obviously cannot remove non-conscious memories, like how to eat, breathe,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
go
yeah,
to
right.
the bathroom,
yeah.
speak.
You become like an amnesiac. You
yeah.
can still function, but
like
you don't
Uhura
have,
in that
you don't
one
have
episode.
Long-term memories
exactly.
anymore.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd be more okay with it if I could have the memory that I chose to give these up for this reason.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
I can remember that like, you sacrifice memories for power,
yeah.
then I'd be okay.
okay, so like how much... What's the power to memory loss ratio here?
Well, that's how far do you want to go? You can go basic...
All up like 20 years.
For Superman? Because you can... That's God.
No, for, like, mild powers.
Mild
like
powers?
What?
Okay.
Yeah, like, the ability
to
see through
the first half of my life
person.
Is super boring and lame.
Okay.
It's only until you met me.
Yeah, pretty much.
like power suit levels of like being cool guy.
Power suit?
Like a Karis kind of thing. Like you can run on buildings, jump really high. You're not invincible.
That's lame.
But you can do things in a like way better than humans.
I need like world economy destroying powers.
Yeah.
I need something that is like, there's no going back from this, but fuck it.
Krillin? Would you take Krillin?
I like these. I like throwing these out.
Do you have to be Goku? Would you take Krillin?
I would not take Krillin.
Goku.
You can fly.
Wait, no, I get Android 18.
No, not literally.
That's a power.
No, fly. No, we have fireballs. If bullets don't penetrate you. If you give up half your life's memories, it has to be to get something that means there will never be any threat to you whatsoever. And I'm not talking about like, because like, remember, if you get super, nobody thinks about this. If you got most superpowers tomorrow, right? Say you became Superman tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Guess what? I really hope you don't use any of those powers where anyone can ever see you, because you're going to have a rough time after that.
The rest of your life is garbage.
Like, remember that part in Man of Steel where they try and lock Superman up?
Yeah.
Try dealing with that shit every day.
Wooly, would you take Night Thrasher?
No, never.
Would you like? That's what feels like.
I would go no lower than like
no lower than who?
No lower than Cien.
No lower than Cien. All right, that's fine for anime. What about superheroes?
Yamcha. Like,
what about superheroes? Like American style. There's a lot to choose.
Ooh, there's a lot of levels in there. I'd need. God.
Okay, no.
And powers, not like suits.
I will dump every memory I have in my life.
For what?
For Professor X's powers.
Okay.
Because then I can go to all of you and look at those memories
from your perspective. That's a loophole, definitely.
That's not bad. Like or like a rogue even kind of
alternatively thing. Time travel powers, because then you can just watch.
Yeah, well that's what I was about to say. I would dump everything and scrape
he's saying power, not power.
I would scrape my brain dry for Dio.
Yeah.
For Dio.
Yeah. But are you evil or just Dio's
power? No,
just
power.
Well, we'll see what baseline Wooly with no memories is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the nature versus nurture discussion right there.
To give me the world. Absolutely.
I don't know. I wouldn't give up any of it. I don't think it's worth it. I think my life's great. But I would give up just enough if I could so that I could reliably...
Would you give up for what?
I'd give up just enough to reliably open any jar or bottle with ease.
So you'll give up one good memory for like some trivial power that's kind of useful.
My eighth birthday can go.
Yeah.
I'll be able to open any jar, guaranteed.
See, this is kind of a weird trick question for me because I don't remember. I'm bad with some memories. So, like, my eighth birthday, it's gone. It's fucking gone.
You already gave that one up.
I guess.
I would.
Did I make a deal with Mephisto to get this show?
I would give up a maximum of 20 years for Mr. Fantastic level intelligence.
Yeah.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Smart.
Not his power, because his power is useless.
And it would go bad for you.
Super useful.
But I can't use that and not get questions asked.
You can
use it. You could feed the cat from there.
You can use it in subtle ways.
I could. I can, but I don't need to.
So what if it was...
But 20 years is my max. I can't give up more than that.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
I'm trying... Like, what was that game from NIS America where, it you trade levels...
Oh, God. ZHP?
God something.
Dark Death Evil Man?
You just power up to level 99 immediately if you want to.
By NIS South America? Or was it by NIS Japan?
I'm pretty sure it's NIS Japan.
No, wait. God and the Fate, whatever, Ultimatum?
I think that's awesome. Anyway.
The point is that's a Hero Man project.
Because let's say you had the meter where it was like power meter... And then it's also subtracting memories.
Yeah.
You just slide the scale over.
I would sacrifice all of you for more time on the clock.
Yes. Yeah. I would accept that. I would accept
that. Are you for real? You know what that makes you?
What?
Griffith!
Well, I'm just doing a joke from Firepedia.
It's a joke.
But if it's the Pandora system, then you lose in 10 seconds. All right.
Yeah, I lose in 10 seconds.
All right. I have the solution. The solution is you don't know what the power is. You don't know what it is. And you're given like a dial. And the dial says 0, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 33. Like to your age.
And it's okay.
And you turn it once and feel nothing, because 1, 2, 3, and that's where you're like, hey, I feel
better.
Wait,
are you saying it's exponential rather than
linear? No, it's not exponential. It should be linear. It's linear.
Okay, but you don't know what the power is.
And then you hit 5, and once you hit 5, you know what the power is. But you, every single turn, you have to decide.
Well, then that makes it easier then, because you turn it to 5, and you feel what it is, and if it's worth it, then you keep going.
Yeah, and what you do is you stop right after you start to get really upset. Like, right after you're like, wait,
I don't have.
I can't, uh-oh.
Yeah. Like, for me, I don't have, like old shitty memories that I need deleted, but they're all just normal. So I'm like, I wouldn't mind, because I love power.
Yada, 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 fight the dog, the rats off with a stick with so my dog, yada, question, Grenada.
The question is really like, how many years worth of memory does a person really have?
No, not
like,
nearly
during
as many
your first,
as you think.
During your first 5 years of life, how many years worth of memory is in there?
So my girlfriend would be able to answer this a lot better, but it's like, they categorize into different sections of your brain, and long-term and short-term are totally separate.
You know, I have a degree in this.
Yeah, but she's actually going.
Yeah, I know. The actual thing is like your memories that you have are not nearly as accurate or good as you think they are.
Yeah,
they're actually quite terrible.
So that's the question.
Do you should have played the air horn like right after years? Saying that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can recreate it.
Witness testimony is way, way unreliable.
Yeah.
History proves this time and time and time again.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Wow, what a great question.
It's a fun question.
One of these days, I'm going to snap and, like, fire you. Now who's going places? And then I'll rehire you for fun, but still.
And then you'll be like, you're my best friend.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm as good as Matt.
Oh, God.
Well, beat Liam and we'll think about it.
Well, I don't know.
You got some good hits in.
Can't beat Superman.
It all works so well.
Yeah, it works pretty well.
Everardo says, hey, long time writing in. Wooly's refusal to watch Code Geass because he doesn't like the art style inspires my question today.
Yeah, well, what
happened
with that?
Have you ever completely dismissed
questions.
An anime movie or thing because you don't like the art style?
Well, dude, I never said that. No, but just recently, week, I got a bunch of people saying, make Wooly watch Code
Geass. It's a misunderstanding where you said, I didn't watch it. And then you said you didn't like the art style.
I said the character design.
I said those eyeballs are really big.
You said I haven't, and then you gave a diss, and then people internalize that as the diss
attached
is why
the reason.
You didn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dude. If I said
I've never had a chili cheese dog, chili looks gross. People would naturally assume that I don't eat chili cheese dogs because
they weren't back-to-back sentences, but it's fine. Sure,
you're
totally wrong. That's not why at all. I just never watched it because the fans and the people that I knew never shut up about it, and it got really annoying.
And you're like, shut up.
It was getting to the point where it's like, you know, something might be cool, but the fan base is kind of ruining it for you. I need to get beyond that. Yeah. So
just like the Linkin Park fan.
Now's the time.
And now that it's sort of swelling back up again, right?
Time is now.
No, and I also want to watch like shit that's actually sort of cool, like Gundam Unicorn.
So you just said something that will get you more flack.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm just like, that's where that came from initially.
Again? I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know.
You just said I'd want to watch shit that's kind of sort of cool
that I actually want to watch.
There was a diss there. You're
right.
Digging this hole.
Fine. Yeah, here's where it is. I haven't seen Code Geass, so I don't know anything.
Yeah.
But you think it's stupid?
But I want to actively go and watch Gundam Unicorn.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Just say you're not interested in it.
Just play more Front Mission.
I might watch it to find out. Yeah, I'll play
more. Sorry, what was the question?
The question was just like, did the art style ever turn you off of something?
Yeah, Hunter x Hunter. Done.
Oh, really? That's why for you?
Hunter. It looks so stupid.
Huh, that's interesting.
I can't get over it.
That's not at all for me. What
I can't
it was,
get over
but
it.
That's okay. Sure.
There was.
You got into One Piece.
One Piece looked a million fucking times more interesting than Hunter x
but
Hunter.
But you have a problem with Metabots?
I don't know what Metabots are, dude.
No, the art style.
The art style of Metabots.
No, I don't even think it was him.
It was me and Liam that said that, didn't
Wooly, we just don't like know what Metabots are.
Great. Oh, wow. Okay.
The reason why I get annoyed when Matt yells Metabots is because I don't know what Metabots are.
Okay. Art style turning us off on something.
We've answered this question
recently that really turned me off because of that. Yeah. But what answer is...
Gosh, I can't remember what the game... For games, it's happened a fair few times.
Hey, my dumbass idiot self with Demon Souls.
Yeah. My dumbass idiot self with Skullgirls.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you're right. We've done this infinitely.
Like, I feel like we just had this conversation. Like,
hey,
pro tip, we're morons.
Yosef wants to know, like, would a polished so bad it's good game make you love it more? What if Deadly Premonition actually were, like, really well done?
And,
like,
D4.
Visuals were awesome.
Like, if it was, like, The Last of Us level of presentation.
But still weird in
well, okay,
content.
Look, Deadly Premonition's charm is its wacky dialogue and bad voice acting.
But I feel like...
But if it was more polished...
I feel like there's an undercut of Deadly Premonition with how fucking cobbled together everything is and how...
So if it were really
D4
well presented,
is more polished.
Deadly Premonition still retaining its charm. I prefer Deadly Premonition at this point because it's more busted.
So you would hate it more if it were more polished,
or at least you wouldn't have liked it as much.
I wouldn't have liked it as much if it was.
Okay.
Also, you just enjoy Twin Peaks like enough that I think Deadly Premonition will always win.
Yeah, sure, but no, it's like no. If I'm gonna watch a bad movie, I want the boom mic to be in the shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's hilarious to me.
You need the arrow pointing so past zero that it turns over, and that's at 10 now.
Yeah. The frown, like, literally starts turning upside down. Yeah.
That's actually what happened with Deadly P, where I, like, when I saw it at Matt's place, I was like, it's the worst thing ever. Let's play more.
It's a bit early, but do you think...
it's a good gift for Christmas.
Pat, do you think Pillars of Eternity is better than Divinity Original Sin?
Yeah.
All right.
The gameplay in Divinity is turn-based, and it's really, 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 really interesting. And it's, like, it's the combat's probably better by a small margin, but the writing is... Like, Divinity Original Sin's writing is so bland and boring that I haven't gotten more than 3 hours into it.
Okay.
And I am totally riveted by...
What about Planescape?
I have not given enough time
to
Planescape. Planescape is still on the backlog.
I can lend you it if you want.
No, I have, like, multiple copies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just, every time I'm about to get into it, the widescreen patch breaks it more or something.
Sure. Just play it regular.
Fuck off, Liam. Anyway,
I said I'd lend you a copy. What do you think it is? It's a disc.
I have it on GOG.
Oh, okay.
Multiple times, even.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I got, like,
He found somewhere.
I don't know. I feel like I have 10 copies.
A couple bundles or whatever.
I'm like, how do I put this? In Divinity, I barely cared what the main story even was, because the writing was just like, eh. Whereas in Eternity, in my short time with it, I was reading every single book you could pick up. Like, all the history books, I was actually reading all of those, because they were so well written.
That's good writing.
RPGs should have good writing.
Leland writes in...
Toriyama, goddamn.
Leland.
Hey, I worked at WrestleMania. Don't work at WrestleMania. And he sent us a selfie of him at the stadium doing cleanup after everyone's gone.
That's the face of WrestleMania!
That's bad.
That looks tough.
Hey, man.
No, don't work at the cool thing.
You got to be there,
though. You're not doing a cool thing at the cool thing.
Like, don't work at the strip club.
Eduardo wants to let us know... since we talked about Starship Troopers not long ago, there was a Starship Troopers animated movie.
There's several.
This was made in 2012 called Starship Troopers Invasion.
Yeah,
and while that. I know for sure none of them are ever going to capture the magic of the first one because it was done through a cynical fucking lens.
It's genius. Starship
so
Troopers
good.
Is genius, bordering on like RoboCop.
And everyone following up on
director.
This franchise.
Oh, it's Verhoeven?
Yeah.
Well, I just stumbled on that analogy perfectly.
Yeah. Everyone following up on this franchise misses the fucking idea because they're trying to make them cool soldier guys.
Yeah, the whole point is that it's the dumbest.
The coolest version of cool soldier guys might be this one because it was directed by the guy that directed Appleseed.
And that fucking...
So... checking out the trailer for it. It's like, yeah, that looks pretty action-y. And Rico's back in the future.
And that fucking...
It's hard to find this because there's another Starship Troopers CG animated thing that came out before that.
And then there's Roughnecks, the team.
And then there's Roughnecks.
When that in Roughneck training, that dumb fuck takes his helmet
off.
That's
the moment that sticks with me.
Like... Fucking
like
oh, everyone, man.
Like you'd think you like it's like no, like you'd think it would be the co-ed shower scene, but it's like nah, man, don't take your helmet off, dude. Don't do it. Don't check it.
That and
live fire exercise
that and we're going to war. The box is checked.
Yeah.
You want to live forever?
Yeah. That movie's oh, man. I gotta rewatch it.
And one last one.
You should if you do. You guys like RoboCop?
Yes.
I recently read an article that broke down RoboCop as like a perfectly symmetrical movie, which was really, really, really interesting.
I didn't
to me.
Need someone to tell me that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fine, whatever.
You know.
Okay, fine.
The cartoon
what
is
the article
symmetrical.
About, though? It's about how it's perfectly symmetrical.
What does that mean?
How the first scene, and as if you stack the scenes in AB, like from the beginning to the middle, and then the end to the middle, they line up nearly perfectly.
In regards to
scene three is car chase that they're chasing after Boddicker, and then scene third from last is car chase with Boddicker.
Okay,
and they have different and they have opposite endings to those scenes.
Okay.
And that's non-traditional because most stories go third act is the transition from. The 70% mark over.
Yeah. And it's easier for you to remember and like lock it in where it's the middle of the movie is a RoboCop tries to arrest Dick Jones. And right before that is a huge gunfight against drug dealers in which he kicks the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that is the huge gunfight with the cops in which RoboCop gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And as you go out from the middle... And, like, the only one that doesn't make sense is, like, one news report near the end, but there was a deleted scene that was that news report.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it looks pretty intentional, and it's actually really interesting.
That's cool.
Fun. Love when they find out that kind of stuff.
RoboCop's really cool.
Last one is just, Pat, the reason why, Noah just wants to let Pat know that the reason why the Super Robot Wars series has SD stuff is because the scales of these things.
Yeah, this guy contacted me on Twitter. I don't give a shit.
All right, did he?
Fucking yeah, no, or on the Reddit, or I saw this comment somewhere.
Okay,
and Noah, you're totally right. Who gives a fuck? Make the robot look cool instead of a dumb child.
Yeah, in like I said, in another Century Ace, they make them like cool proportions anyway.
Just make them their regular proportions, and then make
them
the same size.
Next to each other.
Like who cares?
Like you already see like Tengen, Toppa, Gurren Lagann in the
next
game.
To Evangelion and Unit One and oh god, what's his name? Scope Dog. Scope Dogs is shit. But like you know, the fact that they're SD doesn't change their scale by factors of millions.
It's just
I regret
like,
not showing you guys the final attack that he does, where a lot of people were saying you fucked up, and I was like, yeah, it's true.
Oh, Scope Dogs' final attack.
Like his final attack is like he does a whole bunch of normal gun shooting, and then he grabs you and shoves you against the cliffside. Opens the hatch, gets out, and then cocks a gun, hit the pilot, and shoots you.
Yeah,
like one to one.
Okay, Matt. Wooly, tell Matt what Scope Dog is. Scope Dog is the coolest super robot thing ever.
So, like, he's from Votoms, and it's this super normal robot in the midst of these God King giants. That are all super robots that are doing.
So imagine like a Zaku
and shit like
in
that.
The world of Gurren Lagann,
and this one that's just like, yo, I got rockets and guns, normal shooting, normal shoulder tackle.
But he's the best.
But I'm skating around and I'm doing it, and
so,
he's always doing
so
it.
So just a cool underdog,
the cool underdog, the cool underscore
that everyone like underestimates, but he's doing it in the background.
He stays up the whole time.
And his name's Scope Dog because he's got the scopes.
And the true way to beat the game is to defeat the anti-spiral with fucking
Scope.
Oh my god. Like I know like that sounds really cool, but I don't know why I thought this, but in my head it was like, and then Scope Dog's robot turns into like a giant German shepherd
with a
super scope.
Yeah. No, I think the dog's face is the like the barrel of the gun and there's a scope on his back.
Just...
And then like a giganticer robot uses it as a rifle.
Yeah. Anyway. No, I mean I think me and Pat were just more expecting animations from, like, the Maso Kishin series and stuff that are, like, significantly more
I was
more
expecting
elaborate.
Many of the Maso Kishin animations.
Yes.
I mean,
he I don't think you were specifically
expecting ones from that game, but I mean, like, much more elaborate, more detailed things,
And with that, we are just out of time, so tune in again next week and enjoy our interview with Matthew coming up right about now.
He's British.
And he likes wrestling.
Hey, yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Sorry. No,
that's okay. It's okay.
We'll start again.
Just the awkward fumblings in the back of a car.
The first thing on this podcast is a fucking bot.
Matthew, it's fine. He was the guy that walked across the screen during Taker's entrance.
Oh,
and the camera ran up to go, you didn't see nothing.
Also, don't forget when all three announcers were first visible with all the Mountain Dew. Remember that one guy that went in front of the hard camera?
Love those. Great.
Do you know what I think that is? I think that's a guy that told his parents, I'm working for WWE, I'm a big superstar, and then he got saddled in the tech area, and he goes, I have to get in there, they're watching at home.
It's much simpler than that. I thought that camera was not the current hard camera.
The sun was glaring in my eye, because we're outside again. Hey, Matthew, how's it going?
Like WrestleMania, I am fucking fantastic. How's yourself?
Oh, wow. That's a good way to start this.
Pretty good. Pretty strong.
I had no faith going into this WrestleMania. I had absolutely none. I caught up on shit, and then the fucking thing starts, and it's in the middle of the day in an open arena.
Which is how it used to be.
I don't know, man. Everything I know about open arena is like, everyone in the front row has their hand over their eyes, struggling to see
the
ring.
Hour and a half of the show.
It's the weirdest first impression ever.
The other thing about open anything pay-per-view is that, like, there's no place for cheers to go.
Yeah.
It just leaves. Because there's no roof, so the sound pops and boos or whatever. Just go. Because I remember it's the stupid Caesar's Palace or the WrestleMania that was held in Caesar's parking lot, rather, because it was outside Caesar's Palace. And it was Vince McMahon telling Shawn Michaels, if you don't hear people cheering, it's because they're cheering just leaves. It doesn't echo and you never hear it. And then you see Shawn Michaels, you can't hear what it says, but it sounds like if you try to lip sync or try to like read his lips, it looks like he's saying, then why are we doing it here?
the last thing I saw was when Roman Reigns got thrown up there by The Rock, and all faith just vanished after that.
But
so I had really low expectations going into
this. If you're not in an outdoor arena, though, you can't do the big Roman Reigns, like, camera 360 pan as fireworks goes off.
Yeah.
While pounding your fist into the canvas.
Man.
Yeah. But let's take it from the top.
Yeah, let's start up the card.
Matthew, we're just gonna like come clean. We did not watch the pre-show. We came in really late, and we were watching the end of the Andre the Giant Battle Royale thing.
Yeah.
Did you see both the matches in their entirety or no?
Oh, I did. Yeah, me and my mates watched all of it, which is crazy because it was like had Renee, Brian, Corey Graves, and Booker T just in this little place nowhere for like, and it's all right, we have 6 hours left until WrestleMania. I'm like, you're out there for six hours?
Oh yeah. You know, this sounds way better than WrestleMania.
But luckily they had Booker T had a copy of his book to promote every 5 seconds. So
lovely.
Was he reading snippets from like, it?
I think one of the snippets was mention that I've got a book every 10 seconds.
Hey, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Is the name of the book I'm Coming For You?
No, sadly not.
Because that'd be fucking great, but...
Run if you work at Wendy's. You know.
Yeah.
Like yourselves, I had no expectations for this pay-per-view, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, because Right. It's like, I'll just watch anyway, you know. Because people were there going, Matthew, are you actually going to watch WrestleMania? I'm like, nah, the biggest show of the year, I think I give it a miss, you know.
Right.
Like, what the hell, who you kidding?
Just because the bad season, so good. You're not going to stop watching the Super Bowl, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so I put a thing on, because I saw watching one of the previous Money in the Banks with Kofi Kingston doing the thing where he had the two bits of ladders.
Yeah,
was using them like stilts. So I put that with text over, like, he was but a rank amateur compared to Dr. Colossus. And I put the message is that saying, are you guys hyped for WrestleMania? Because I'm watching Simpsons. And I read that. And people read that as, oh, he's not watching WrestleMania. He's going to watch fucking Simpsons repeats instead. I'm like, no, what the, the fuck would I do that for? Yeah. But like yourselves, I had zero expectations. So it was almost like this WrestleMania quantum leapt from another timeline.
Yeah.
Because it didn't fit at all. It's like,
that's exactly what it felt like.
Weird build. But the pre-show, sorry to answer your question. Like, so this wasn't even the pre-show. It was like the kickoff to the pre-show to the Sunday night main event, you know, all this shit. The pre-show tag match was enjoyable. It was very spot, but it's like, hey, look at these guys being athletic in the sun. And, you know, I liked it. It felt like an extended sequence from The Raid or The Raid 2, but enjoyable enough, and Cesaro and Kid won, so no complaints from me. And then, weirdly enough, they went, okay, yeah, great, blah, blah, blah. Now it's time for the Battle Royal, and they cut back, and there were no entrances. And what? The tag teams that had just wrestled were still in the ring.
And they just stayed.
And it was weird. Yeah, it was just like...
That's everybody there.
What?
And this is like 10 o'clock in the morning, their time. And they're just... That's bizarre. Okay.
Because when they did the when they did the review, the run back of it during the show, they kind of started it that way as well. They showed no entrances. Everyone was just in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, well, either they're working double duty, which is weird, because it's like, it's WrestleMania, it's the biggest show of the year, and we've got some guys working twice. Mm. It's like, well, hang on. Don't tell me that this is a nice house when I can see it's on fire. Or, even worse, these tag guys are in the middle of the ring, and all the other guys just came out, and they're like, whoa, whoa, no, I'm trying to leave. No, no, I'm not actually in this match. Which is a funny image.
So at the time, did you interpret that as a bad thing? Or...
Yeah, I was just like, it'd be funny, like, they're going, well, fuck it, we're in this match now, might as well try and win. But I was half expecting Brian Saxton to be taken off by the wind, which is really, really strong. It was blowing Renee's hair, so she looked like she was going to turn Super Saiyan. So I was thinking, was it going to be an option? So, like, oh, there's two guys, and they're nearly over the ropes, and, oh, just one little thing to hit them will do it. And Brian Saxon just take off from the wind and go, end up flying to the ring and just take one of them out, and, like, oh, Brian Saxon's the winner. This didn't happen, if you didn't see the pre-show, by the way. Sorry to get your hopes up. But I liked it. I liked the pre-show. Once they got rid of all the Flotsam and Jetsam, I thought Big Show looked good, which is not a popular opinion, I know, but...
I don't know,
like,
he looks so tired, man.
He's the New Year's baby.
He looks tired.
The bags under his eyes, just
He looks consistently exhausted. Every time I've seen him at the house show that we went to, every time I see him on TV, he looks exhausted.
Well, because I always figure that there's a smaller man inside him,
piloting him.
I kind of get that impression.
Well, like Crank?
Yeah, exactly. Like Krang, Krang, right.
He's way more tired.
Yeah.
That'd be great if Big Show had won and then fucking his head had popped off and Hornswoggle emerges.
Yay, I'm the winner! we came in just like...
the Intercontinental...
we were just sitting down as it started and... Like, do you think it's an indication that maybe you have too many people in a match when their themes stop playing when they're halfway down the ramp and the next guy's theme starts playing? Like, I was just like, I like this song, and then other guy comes out and they keep canceling each other's entrance. It's like you're playing SmackDown and everyone's pressing start.
Yeah, that was the hint. The moment that, like Liam pointed out, that we knew that they had put too many guys in that match was that Stardust gets a whole fucking bit with a ladder that is used for one spot and then fucking thrown aside.
I'm so bummed. That ladder had so much mileage ahead of it, and it just got stomped once, and that was it.
No wonder he turned crazy.
Yeah,
that ladder was like a highlight of that, and because I was like, imagine if they all had personalized ladders. Like, I said to Wooly, like, Wooly, imagine you were in a match and you came out with like this reboot branded ladder, and we don't even use it. Like,
breaking it, and each rung break hurts me.
You can keep raising the stakes and, like, swap the ladders for individual family members, and they've got to climb up each other's family members.
Sure, man.
But, like...
Let's see, stay here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for us, like, I mean, we except for maybe Liam, we all watch, like, classic ladder matches of, like, you know, the 1999 to 2000. This was... all
right. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Ladder match.
Dean Ambrose almost died, so that was cool.
Yeah,
but like nothing else seemed risky or exciting.
But it served this purpose well in that it gave Daniel Bryan a belt, so that it's like, hey, everybody, calm the fuck down.
I feel like that was too overt.
Yeah.
It was too obvious to like, hey, he won. Don't boo the rest of the show. Please.
Please enjoy this title that's worthless.
But now maybe we can make it worth something again. I don't know.
No, you can't. I think I was saying to you guys, and I've heard this echoed by Jay Hunter, Matthew, but I assume you agree, is that like the Intercontinental title is not the Intercontinental title. Like the world title is the Intercontinental title, and the world title is the Money in the Bank.
Everything's moved.
I would go with that. And it's one of these things where every year someone goes, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so will wrestle for the title. They'll bring prestige to it. And it's like, they've said that ever since Cody Rhodes, you know, brought back the white belt a few years ago. So, this time they'll have prestige. It's like, well, we'll wait and see because you're right, it was a good match. It wasn't a risky one, but it was still very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I put on Twitter, hey, look, Cody Rhodes is dressed like Kefka from Final Fantasy VI.
Mr. Sinister.
I called him Mr. Sinister.
I was going to say, and then I had 50 people say, no, it's Mr. Sinister, you idiot. I'm like, aside from that, it was like, okay, now we'll see from here after they had, you know, the legends who are on the Hall of Fame who held IC title, who all go, well, Daniel Bryan, you won this title. That means a lot. It's like, that's all good for one night.
Yeah,
how are you going to do it next week on Raw and the week after that? That's the real test.
Yes, to keep the title for a year.
right.
Keep it. Not
just even like defending it for a while or anything like that. Just not losing randomly to some dude on Raw. Like, I'm not asking for him, like, Daniel Bryan come out and beat six ninjas in a row, but it's like, no, just like one not being used as a jobber. It's all right. But sadly, the way I thought the match was going to end was, Barrett was going to lose the title, and then you'd look as the one guy celebrating with a new title, cut back to him, and he's going, yes, I'm free! Free of the curse! Yes! As he ran back and was happy as hell. That didn't happen for some reason, but maybe next year.
When all the legends came out to congratulate Brian, like, it was every time one transitioned into the scene, and when Pat Patterson first came out, we're all like, okay, just awkwardly...
We love Pat Patterson, he's great.
But awkwardly stand behind them during this interview.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, why didn't he leave?
I was like, I hope he stands there awkwardly. Please,
just off-screen slightly.
Look at all these legends casually walking by the set and seeing Daniel Bryan. What a coincidence. Like, it was such a hammy shit.
I loved it, but every time someone came in, it was an awkward pause as they waited for the next guy, because everyone could see the next guy off camera waiting to get in. And I thought it'd be really hilarious where I'm like, there's not much here. They're just like, hey, everyone, we were treating Daniel Bryan well, right? And I thought it'd be really funny if all the legends, and it all just went into a huge schmoz and they all started beating on Daniel Bryan for some reason. And like, oh, all these legends are heels now. Like, that'd be awesome. But yeah, it was not to be.
What was even funny was, apart from Flair, they all won the title on their way up the ladder to bigger things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like, well done, Daniel Bryan. Remember when you won the world title? I was waiting for Flair to be like, don't worry, buddy. After the hard times, there's some good times. And alimony. It was just like, a title is a title. And, you know, even a kid in the front row who's three is like, yeah, but last year. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who, you know, everyone loves, of course, but him going, Randy Savage, the match we had at WrestleMania 3. Whoa, yeah. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
suddenly his stock declined by like 3 points on the Dow Jilin. Just like, what the fuck was that?
Did Flair even win the Intercontinental title?
Yeah, he won it in 2005 when he beat Carlito. Which exactly, he's like, who remembers the IC title reign of Ric
Flair?
Like a
couple of years ago.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, yeah, like when he was, when he was on the autumn of his life.
Right.
Which he's still
part
of, I guess.
When he was a young, spry 700 years old.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
No, you know, they opened up the sarcophagus and let him loose, and
saying, Matt? Pull him out of the...
The Lazarus pits.
Or in
Killer Instinct, when they released, like, the mummy character, Conrad, it's just Ric Flair.
It's just this
alchemist that's been working 700
from
years.
From the dawn of time.
Yeah, since the dawn of time.
Yeah. And then, of course, you gotta get Farouk in there for his bit, you know, it's fucking guaranteed.
Like, they pay him to say one word. Does Farouk do training or anything? Do they just pay Ron to say damn?
Yeah, exactly.
No one has any answers? Okay.
Let's go with yeah. Move on.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it.
What's
the next match on the card, Wolves?
Orton versus Rollins.
This is a great match!
That was surprising.
I went into that saying, man, Seth Rollins sucks. He's nobody.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, he's just the other Shield guy.
He's the other Shield guy that should be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. So I went into that like, oh, whatever, Orton's going to win it.
And low, but
it was a good match, though.
Going into it, I like Rollins all right. Like, I'm not a huge... Dean Ambrose is cool, but, like, all three of them I'm kind of ambivalent towards. And Orton is awesome in theory all the time. Like, there's things that Orton does that we all have certain moments where we're like, Willie loves his pose.
I love the finisher.
You love the RKO.
RKO's great.
And we're going into a match, especially when we saw Royal Rumble 2014.
That's right.
We watched, it was Cena versus Orton, and we were all, like, we all took piss breaks and whatever and came back. We didn't care what was happening because we didn't care about either guy that much. But this time, I'm just like, you know what? Wrestling isn't wrestling. Made me go, yeah, Orton is a crazy weirdo. I like that. And he thinks he's a snake. Yeah, sure. You kind of hammered that home for me.
I'm a big fan of when your finishing move is a move that just amplifies the other guy's move to look cooler.
Yeah, it's the only thing the stomp exists to do is to get people over.
RKO level 2.
when he first did the stomp, I turned over to Matt and said, man, that's a really limp move. And then at the end of the match, it comes back and it's the coolest.
It's just a modifier to make you better, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
I was saying, now he just needs to do that in a ladder match and have Undertaker do a tombstone off the ladder. The
Some crazy shit. Yeah.
You've watched more wrestling than us, Matthew.
Yes.
Is that one of the cooler RKOs ever? Like, I've seen, like, a million compilations of them, but no one was expecting it, and it just happens. And, like, Willie says, like, the only reason that works so well is because the other guy's move played so well into it, the curb stomp. So when we saw it, we all, like, I leapt out of my seat, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's definitely one of the best ones. What was funniest was they, obviously, the lovely Vine videos came out last year. You know, okay, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But largely, it hasn't been that out of nowhere. I mean, there was ever one where Evan Bourne did a Shooting Star Press, and then Orton did it, and it was like, holy shit. But then last year, he had the Hell in a Cell match against John Cena. And midway, Cena's doing his comeback, where he's hits two shoulder blocks in the Blue Thunder Driver. But he goes to second shoulder block and Orton hits the RK out of nowhere. And everyone went, oh my God, if he wins with that, right, literally out of nowhere, 5 minutes into this match, this will be the fucking best match he's ever had. And he kicked out at two. It was like, ah, fuck them. So the idea of Orton literally doing the move out of nowhere is one that they need to do. That's why, that's how DDP did it in 96. And was just like, oh, this guy's going for an armbar. Oh, into a diamond cutter.
We're losing you, Matthew. Skype.
Yeah, Orton.
I think you're breaking up.
Everything's all right.
Skype's being shitty. You're back.
Okay.
You're back.
New world order. New world order. There we go.
There you go.
That's a great sound test.
Thank you. Orton has some good bits and bad bits. I loved him when he was a prima donna for the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time before that where it was every year it was like, this guy's going to feud with Orton. And then lose Orton in the pay-per-view. And that was it. Just rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. Orton. Yeah. But yeah, he was great last night. His promos have been great. I love Metal Gear Solid, so I'm a fan of bad acting and double crossing. So
yeah,
triple crossing.
So yeah, yay, approve. And you know, Seth Rollins lost, and that didn't go anywhere. So you know,
Man, he sure turned that loss around.
No, what?
Yeah.
You caught up the card yet, Liam?
No, I know.
Lost.
I know, but like... then we moved into Triple H, or should I say Terminator Triple H versus the Pro Kabuki Sting.
Kabuki Sting.
Dude, that Terminator intro was the best.
It's
thing.
The best! The dumbest,
most
awful marketing gimmick that was amazing.
Okay,
it's
like,
so bad you have to love it.
If you guys recall, that video started playing of the San Francisco Bay. And then when a little bit of, like, computer, like
text.
Stuff started appearing on the ring, I'm not sure if you recall, but I shouted, what, is Triple H Skynet?
Yeah.
Like, as a throwaway comment.
Yeah,
and
then
sitting down,
sitting down
to resume my normal watching of the pay-per-view, and then it happened.
The T-100s
were
rise.
T-100s, like, after he got to the ring... If WrestleMania the feed cut off,
you'd be like, yeah.
I got what I wanted.
Yeah,
that's
that was
fine.
Worth the price of entry.
That entrance was the like Willie said, the dumbest best entrance ever.
They gave him all those Terminator skulls to hold just so
like
he could throw
seconds.
Away in 10 seconds.
Dude, every marketing guy just jizzing their pants at how great this integration of product is.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're fucking losing it.
So
how much money? How much money?
Like last year, he was dressed up as Shao Kahn, right?
Yeah.
He was as a golden Shao Kahn, and that
basically.
Was like this is the penultimate version of
the throne entrance
of his Conan Destroyer shit. But like, you can't top this now. Unless he comes out as a xenomorph.
Well, unless you
predator.
Find another movie to work into it exactly.
Yeah, another movie needs to come out as Ultron, I guess. I don't know.
Shit, man.
During SummerSlam, this Triple H is Ultron.
No, I'd be better as Sharknado Triple H.
No,
But it was great seeing Hunter Killer Hurst Helmsley come out. But part of me is like, that's great. The only way it could be any better is if you wrestled with it on. Going,
yeah.
DQ. Like, he's making the noises with his mouth, going, punch, dropkick. But yeah, fucking loved it. And as everyone else has said, and I'm going to say it before anyone else so I can brag about it. Yeah, Sting used to hang out with RoboCop. Triple H hangs out with Terminator.
Yeah,
it's true.
Finally, RoboCop versus Terminator wrestling.
It's true.
I can't wait for the Photoshops for this.
I forgot that fucking
because
RoboCop
came and busted
WCW
out Sting out of the fucking cage.
Yeah,
man.
He did. Oh, God.
Sting's going bald, man.
Oh, it's real bald.
Oh,
sorry to cut you off, Matthew.
Oh, sorry, man. It's always the fun of Skype, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, after the remake last year, Sting can keep RoboCop as far as I'm concerned, but...
But as we went on to the match, we're like, guess what, though? This match is probably going to be... Like, after those entrances, we all kind of went, this match is not going to be that...
Super good
or whatever.
But
it started, we were all like, it's not going to be great. And then it turned out to be, like, the dumbest, hypest
thing Marvel versus Capcom.
Halfway it became Bushido Blade, and I saw the best shot I've ever seen, or I've seen in wrestling in a while. You remember the low
you've
shot?
You've got him reaching for the hammer.
Oh, yeah,
the slide such a cinematic moment.
What a good
that
shot.
That was great.
Yeah.
Cinematography, man, in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
The mise-en-scene of WrestleMania.
Who would have thunk it, right?
Fuck Children of Men. Let's get on this shit.
Yeah.
But when they're like just kind of grappling in the ring and it's like, okay, where this is going to go? And then music starts playing.
Yeah.
And of course, it was some generic Biddle rock that we couldn't really understand what was going on. And then it just shows the hard camera looking at the entrance. And I just go, I don't care who's coming out. Just come out. Just, I can't wait for whoever's coming out, whoever it's going to be. Because we're kind of thinking maybe Shawn Michaels. Maybe.
Yeah, we all thought Shawn Michaels, right?
Yeah.
And then when NWO come out and we're all like, oh my God, Scott Hall is walking. Is he a Terminator?
I looked at them and all I could think was like, Granddad, don't forget your green shoes.
Scott
like,
took a bump, man.
He took a little bump, it's true.
Yeah.
Why aren't they wearing their fishnets anymore? DX Grandpa versus, can't pull it off anymore. Like
DX versus NWO was number one trending on Twitter. Don't forget.
It was up there. I kept checking the Twitter things. They lied. They straight up lied about a lot of them.
This is the top trending thing on Twitter. No, it's not. No, shut up.
Yeah.
That one actually was.
And when DX shows up...
It was good, though.
Up,
it was able... Oh, Phil.
Sorry, continue.
After you... Damn it, I'm horrible at this. I'm very sorry. I'm not really polite. I'll just say this. It was great, and I fully agree with it. It was almost like a real Terminator film, going back in time and doing all this shit with like this. It was so good, it made us all forget, wait a minute, Kevin Nash is doing what is technically known as a run-in.
Yeah.
And it works, so you may carry on with your point.
When DX and both NWO are all in the ring, I was like, at that moment, and this is something Pat said often, but like now it's... This is straight up just grandpa mania. Like, because there's so many, like, Triple H, you know, whatever.
Star Trek 7, too many grandpas.
Too many grandpas. Everyone. Like, it really struck me, because I haven't seen X-Pac in a while, but X-Pac has a bald spot. And when I was a kid...
X-Pac got a WrestleMania payday, man.
He got a WrestleMania payday. But when I was a kid, all I remember is 1-2-3 Kid. Look at this guy. He's like 19.
Then he grew up or grew down
into X-Pac. Yeah. And then when you see him now and just like a gigantic bald spot, I'm like, no, you were a young guy to me.
What it was they're all standing in the ring, and you're like, both of these were the emblems of rebellion.
Rebellious youth.
Yeah.
You know? And like you're looking at this happening now, and you're like, damn, like, I'm still loving it though. I just wish it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, but oh well. It was fun. I really enjoyed that moment.
Yeah, and Sting with his Bushido-edged baseball bat that can slice through other weapons was a little much, but it was still
awesome. I wish they would have done more with the props, but it was still fun.
I wanted them to have a goddamn sword fight.
Yeah,
exactly. I wanted them to have a duel of fates.
Yeah. Well, and like things that they've never worked together, right? So
no, I don't think so.
When they're recapping like Sting's history, and they just completely act as if
TNA doesn't exist, man.
You just can't acknowledge it. It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
It was great because it came on card. Like, it's weird how, you know, what's that thing about winners writing the history books? Mm. They love showing the bits of like DX invading Nitro that one time.
Yeah,
and yes, it was a very entertaining segment. But the way they've replayed it and shown it, and even build up under this match, it's like, WCW was doing great, and then DX invaded, and then they died. And so it's great, because it was like, Sting, you were the last holdout for WCW, and you failed, and all this. So they're painting Sting like he's one of those Japanese soldiers who's just been hanging out for decades, not knowing World War II's over. And just like, instead of living in a cave, he's been wrestling in TNA, and to much the same effect, because all everybody on Twitter's like, I can't wait to see Sting wrestle one more time. I'm like, guy, fucking six years worth of stuff, mate. But yeah, no, Triple H has the ability to turn chicken shit into chicken soup, and so it was a great match. It was a nostalgia trip. I know a lot of people are pissed off, because they've been telling me how, like, Sting was, wait for it, buried by this decision, because if you lose a match at any point in history, you don't lose a match and win the other day, you're buried.
How the fuck did Sting get buried after a match in which he cut a sledgehammer in half with a baseball bat?
Because wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So we're the problem, is what you're saying.
No, we're not.
Yeah, stop having fun.
We're not nearly inside baseball enough to be wrestling fans.
Okay, fair enough.
And then that was followed up with the,
that was followed up by a bathroom break for most people.
Including myself, I went to go
Which
get
was the
dog.
Musical accompaniment of fucking whoever.
They brought on the girl, whose name I can't remember, something Gray, and then they brought on the guy.
Her name was flashing the whole time!
Yeah, and they brought on
Sky
the guy.
Gray.
They,
Sky Gray
they brought on Kid Ink or whatever, and I was just like, bring her back! Get her back out here!
Yeah, I wasn't happy then, but I'm sure it's not happy now.
Yeah. Travis Barker's cool.
Travis Barker's cool.
But we were
he
all...
the drummist?
Yeah, drummer. Drummist.
The drummist.
The drummist.
You know, like a drummist and a pianer.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it was pianers. We were all really disappointed when they're running down who's going to come out, and then they go, Kid! And we all go, yeah, Kid Rock! Oh my God! And then it's just Kid nothing. Ah, so disappointed.
Yeah, Kid Ink looked like, hey, Granddad, draw what you think a rapper looks like. He was so generic looking.
Yeah.
Nothing going on. But yeah, Travis Bate on the drums was quite impressive. The like the 3 seconds they showed of him was nice, but
they should have just zoomed in on the sticks the
whole
time.
He's awesome. That's the only guy that matters there. But anyway,
there's a Japanese guy from Sting Entrance just hanging out with him, going, "Oh, drums."
Yeah, it's that Travis guy in the Kodo dude. That would have been great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bella Twins versus Paige and AJ Lee.
This is a weird fucking match.
AJ was just like,
AJ didn't want to wrestle today.
Yeah, was AJ injured, like, in real life? Do you know? Because she spent so much time.
She spent most of the match on the floor selling. Yeah.
All I know is someone sent me a tweet during that thing that said, like her husband, AJ's avoiding the ring.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with that. She was in the protest.
It was a weird writer's strike.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, writer's strike is, I'll show up. I just won't wrestle.
Oh, man.
I'll oversell.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hang out here on my Game Boy all day, yeah. yeah, it was great, and it's another thing, like, you know, being the guy that I am, people send me their opinions and stuff, and, you know, if I'm positive, people will have a go at me for being happy.
Yeah.
And if I'm negative, people have a go at me for being negative.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we know
nothing,
that.
Nothing pales in comparison to dare to insult the WWE Divas. I put a thing like, oh, thank you for putting the Divas match on after the musical interlude.
It was so obvious. It was so obviously placed for that reason.
Yeah.
Right? Right, but then people, like, they don't see that. Just read, like, Matthew, you are the reason why women suffer. You are the reason why there are forest fires in Australia. You know, you are the reason. I'm like, oh, shit.
It's all you, man.
And then I watched it and I went, oh, fuck, I'll gladly take it then. Because, yeah, a weird match.
It seemed like they wanted to do a handicap match because that's what that match was for 90%.
Yeah, just Paige getting her ass kicked. And it sucks because I like Paige so much. Like, she's like...
You like the Paige Turner.
I like the Paige Turner, but, like, when I saw her in NXT, I was like, whoa, she's actually doing it.
Yeah.
And she's like, she knows her way around the ring. And AJ Lee does as well, but, like, to me, like, the Bellas, but the fact that they're twins makes it worse, actually.
Isn't one of them a good wrestler and the other isn't?
Matthew, can you chime in on that? I have no idea.
Yes, but don't ask me which one's which.
Seriously? That's fucking horrible.
Are they actually twins, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, because there was something that one of the announcers said during the match that killed me. And I was laughing for the rest of the match about it because he said the Bella twins have been twins for most of their life.
Yeah,
and I was like, wait, run that by me again.
That must have been Jerry.
Listen to it. I don't remember who said it, but you'll be able to listen to it in the future. One of the announcers just straight
That's
up said great. That, and I was like, what are you That's saying?
Great. That's
do
awesome.
Do you not know what a twin is?
Like, I told you about this on Twitter, Matthew, but I think the only reason the Bella Twins should continue to exist is that they can actually do time-traveling angles by having one come in and say, she's from the future, don't do this match.
Yeah.
Because that's where twins can actually be really, really useful.
So that's not how I earned the belt.
How many groups do you have them? Like them, the Usos, and like...
Yeah, the Usos could do it.
Are you, any twin group should just start up the time travel storyline.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah, thankfully...
I love the idea, by the way.
It was over quickly. It was over quickly, like anybody that's booking a diva match and like just goes, just don't have it drag on too long and no one will be angry, and unfortunately, Willie comes back just as the match, as the girls are leaving, and he's like, oh, you missed a diva match, and Willie just goes, fantastic, awesome, I can sit down and eat my food now.
I got my burger.
In all fairness, it wasn't the worst diva match.
No, was
it?
No,
it was decent.
Terrible.
Yeah. It was decent, except for the part that it was weird, where AJ took... She didn't even get in the ring before getting the bump and selling on the floor.
She came back in and pressed L2 a bunch of times, did her specials, and then everyone like left.
Yeah, it was super bizarre.
and the Widowmaker is a really good, like, it's an awesome looking fucking.
The submission?
Not Widowmaker. What is it called? Her submission.
I don't know. The thing where she crawls all over you and bends your head. I don't know, but it's cool.
The Black Widow.
Black Widow. Black Widow. That's what I was going for. That thing looks fucking awesome every time I see it. I'm just like, that looks like what it's called.
Yeah.
You know, when a move is done like that, but...
The match right after that was my most anticipated match.
Now, this is where I left for like 15 minutes. Yeah. Then
and you
back.
Missed this fucking... Oh my god.
These entrances.
These entrances were...
Wait, no, wasn't it this is right into Taker versus Wyatt?
No.
It was
Rusev and
Cena right
after.
Yeah. Okay. And
then Taker versus Wyatt.
Cena, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So then the US title match, Rusev versus Cena. I can't believe. I can't be fucking.
Did you know
that? Let's start with Rusev.
Let's start with Rusev. Fine. Let's start with Rusev.
So Rusev comes out on the Shagahod. just drives in.
Yeah. But, like, his is such an amazingly. He has, like, a crazy patriotic entrance with tanks and soldiers and
guns. They shoot into the crowd.
They shoot the crowd. They kill tons of people on live television.
That was amazing.
That's
that was
great.
A hell of an entrance.
That was a hell of an entrance.
And then you just cut
loved
to
it.
The most unbelievable, soggy, bread, American thing.
So,
what's the takeaway,
Pat? I'm gonna give a lay down some information for listeners that are not aware. Matthew, can you say anything at all? Just now. Say anything.
Duh.
Okay, great. You can tell he's not American. We are Canadian.
That's correct.
Cena's intro does not play if you're not from the United States. It makes no sense.
No, it does not.
Because they actually went to the place.
What's the narrative, Pat?
That if Cena beats Rusev, he will somehow undo 9/11.
What? That was the narrative we grasped from this video. Who was in there? Reagan was in there.
Martin
Obama
Luther King.
Reagan,
Obama.
FDR.
George Bush. FDR. Statue of Lincoln. Like fucking.
Even President Taft.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Taft.
Just people. Factories.
Dog.
Progress.
Industry.
Like
the guys on the girder up building a skyscraper.
Unbelievable.
Every American thing.
Gate.
Unreal. The soldiers putting up the flag.
Oh yeah, that Iwo Jima. Yeah, that's. Oh man.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Everything.
You know, Cena, and if you work really hard, if you beat Rusev in 10 minutes or less, you'll retroactively stop the stock market crash in the 30s. That can happen.
America will have won the Cold War.
Yeah,
So, you know, and then we follow that video up with Cena just walking out going, buy my merch.
So during thing... We were talking to each other about, okay, how does he enter the ring?
Helicopter, parachute.
And helicopter was the first thing, but then we were like, nah, that
wouldn't
work.
You gotta one up the helicopter.
Parachute, they'll never do that again. Halo jump.
You gotta high altitude, low orbit jump.
And then
landing in the ring in the fucking naked snake pose.
If he would have done that, he would have won that.
And then he walks out to his music.
Yeah, that was...
Like, what a limp way to follow up that amazing video.
Well, like I told you guys before, Cena had a great entrance years and years ago where he came out with, like, old 1920s, like, Buicks and guys in, like, old gangster clothes, Tommy guns. That's awesome.
That sounds
neat. And it fits Cena. And it's like, everyone had cool entrances. Like, Rusev's was cool. And, like, I didn't watch Cena's entrance because I was busy shitting or whatever I was doing at the time. But, like... That sounds super lame.
It was really lame. It seemed to me like what the right thing to do was have it U.S. military theme to contrast with Rusev's like Russian.
It's so obvious that it hurts.
Theme.
Like they
it
did
is
nothing.
Painfully obvious.
They must have done that before and we never saw
it. Oh yeah,
it,
absolutely.
It seems so
Matthew,
obvious.
Have they done that before?
Yeah.
Yeah, confirmed.
I don't want to talk about it though. I'd rather talk about how something that isn't getting mentioned that does need a mention. They played the USSR national anthem as Rusev came out.
Yeah,
and which is one of my favorite national anthems.
Oh, it's great! It's awesome.
Weird thing to say, but it's such a good song. And it used to be like a song I'd work out to. In fact, because it's like Russians. Because you know when you think Manilus, you think old Russian people.
Russia, exactly.
And yeah. I was actually going to ask, but then you've also said you're Canadian. It's really messed up. Well, the question was going to ask you all, like, how do you see this then? But yeah, because it's been great being non-American, talking to other non-Americans and talking about this. And it's always like, Rusev comes out and goes, well, I don't really like America. And it's always like the American comes out and goes, fuck you, you non-American. America, USA, USA. Get the fuck out of my country. It's like, whoa, shit. Like,
every time.
It's always done really badly. But like in America, it might just be cultural differences that works really well. You know, that heavy-handedness. But personally, I was just wanting like Lana to distract the ref. Rusev to get in his tank, run over Cena a few times, and get in the ring and pin him.
That'd be great.
Cena wins.
No,
which again, sadly did not. Yeah, sadly
but,
did not happen.
But instead, but instead, you should use the most technological advances Russia has to offer: women throwing their shoes.
Yeah, that's mail order wives to you.
Yeah, yeah. When Rusev
Russia has better than just regular wives.
When Rusev was down, Liam goes like, oh, and shows Natalya on the camera, and then Liam just goes like, oh, he cannot lose. I am his mail order bride.
I wish she was Olga, man. That's what I want.
Yeah, Gurlukovich.
Standing
at
ringside.
Very cool. Well, the hairy armpits, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, referee, look at these.
My eyes.
So, Matthew, you're the complete expert, so we'll defer to your judgment.
So hairy.
But about this match, Wooly and I were going back and forth during. What the fuck was Cena doing? He was terrible.
Everything was sloppy. It's unbelievable.
It is weird because Cena has the ability to have... He's had very good matches in his career. He has. But... this is like on-off switch he has where he's either really on or just not. And especially here, like as you're saying, with WrestleMania, outdoor crowd, surely the noise is going to travel up. Surely with 70,000 people cheering or booing or chanting, we want Lana, because half the fucking crowd went, well, we don't like Cena, but we like America, so let's cheer for Lana.
Yeah.
Surely, with all that background noise, and surely the tank reversing into the fucking tank depot, you're like, we won't be able to hear Cena go. And there he was. I'm in a room full of people in this guy's house, and we're all drinking and smoking all this, and I'm there like, drop me off in headlock. I'm like, fucking hell. and again, and it's really weird because it's like, I like watching wrestling as a fan. I don't like being a critic half the time, so it takes the fun out of it. So as a fan, I wanted Rusev to kill this racist fuck. And I'm there like...
I'm sorry, now you said... now you said kill.
He has a tank.
He's a Russian. We've all seen Rocky IV. It's just natural to them.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he should have been like, okay, lock up, and then he puts a headlock and he jerks back and is like, oh, I broke him.
No, he didn't have it.
A guy comes out in a tank, he's clearly got stuff in his mind that is of a violent nature, so come on, man.
Burning an American flag on Cena's body.
Oh, no, can't do that.
You can't do that.
They could have done the Rocky IV ending in reverse. Rusev going, if he can change, then we can change. And Cena going, I'm not changing. I ain't turning heel and fucking it. No, I don't want to talk about this. I'm going to PTSD.
I think that was I've already tried the AA a couple of times, and now that I have it, I'm going to do it really quick because Rusev is strong and I want to pin him really fast. Because I've seen that before where, like, other people, when they do their finishers, they do them really, like, a quick, maybe sloppier version, but they do it really quick to show that, like, I'm not going to have him on my shoulders, I'm not going to pose, I'm not going to wait, I'm just going to do it really quick. But the part of the match I did see, like, yeah, everything seemed to be a little off.
But what was it when he got it, when he got Rusev on the turnstile he dropped him?
There was two like roll ups that were just like awkwardly handled and a couple other moments. But anyway, that was
Cena won. Hey, yeah. Surprise!
Yeah, where's the talent? You can't see it.
You can't beat Superman.
You can't beat Superman, especially not if you're Russian Superman.
You can if you're GOG. GOG beat Superman, wasn't satisfied, went back in time the previous day and killed him again. That happened in comics, damn it. But it happened. It was also good because it's like, main event. And Cena's biggest issue is the fact that he's been around for ages and ages and ages, and he wrestles nearly every Raw or every second Raw or whatever. He's been around a lot. And I've like there's been more televised Cena matches than probably all Hogan's matches he's ever had on TV. Which is a negative to someone with such a limited moveset.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he only has four moves. You know, he's like Bulbasaur. So when it comes to things like this, he'll fucking go for something special. Like when he had the CM Punk match, you know, they did Hurricanranas and Pile Drivers. And then for this, he did the fucking springboard.
More off the ropes. Yeah.
Springboard stunner. And he was like, what the fuck? So I'll give him credit for that. It's like, whoa, okay. And then he didn't get in the pin. So it's like, all right, well, no wonder you only did four.
That move didn't work.
That one doesn't work for you. Yeah, all right. No, fair play to you, Cena. So yeah, to win, it's like, okay, Cena, yeah, you've been the same thing for a while. You're not bad. It's just, time passes. You need to move on, and he's still there. So,
Matthew, when you talk about that, it brings up something that we were talking about after WrestleMania in general, and it was when they were announcing when they were talking about Orton and Cena in the promo material about how they were 12-time or 15-time world champions. What I haven't kept up, and most of you guys haven't kept up either, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the title? How does Cena's not even 40 years old?
No.
How does he get the title 15 different times?
It changes hands.
Every other episode. So
it just changes hands
every other Monday.
I feel like in the back of my mind, Triple H had that title for 3 years. Like maybe I'm insane, but it felt that way.
Maybe. It's one of these things. It's how they do it nowadays. They go, hey, this guy makes money. Let's treat him like a god. And it's other people going, well, the world doesn't end if he looks bad. And they're like, but it might. Oh, fuck. So put the title on Cena. Which is fine, okay, whatever. There's other things to enjoy in a 3-hour show. But yeah, it's. And again, it's great because Cena will never stop being talked about. It's all these people say, oh, this will be the time he turns heel. I mean, look at him. He's acting like a dick. He choked out Rusev in front of Lana until Lana was screaming, and all this. Like, he's turning heel. It's like, he's not.
What a
your
hero.
Your heel. Yeah, your heel is American face. That's how it works. That's the flip side. So, so it's weird. And we'll never stop talking about it and debating it and going, this is really weird. And some of us keep on watching. And so you say you're insane, but you stop watching it for a bit. I'm insane, so I watch it every week. So
yeah,
never gets old talking about it, though. So I'm sure he's a nice guy in real life.
But, oh, sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he clearly puts the work in, but... Yeah.
So
it's like, I don't want to eat regular oatmeal every Monday night. Raw.
And Thursday.
And Thursday.
Or whatever the fuck day it is now.
Shit. And once a month on Sundays.
That's your extra helping oatmeal.
And it feels great because, like, again, you've wrestled Rusev, this new exciting beast who has had a lot of really awkward storylines the past few months, which have always all been, hello, my name is Rusev, I am not from here, and then the guy he's wrestling is like, fucking America. I mean, I've already done that joke, but like literally, that's it. It's like he wrestles Big E. Big E's a normal guy, a rational guy, and then he's just like, like, I've got the fear of America not being the number one country in the world in me now, so I'm going to just talk about America. It's like, holy shit, dude. So normal people have turned completely irrational, so I can only assume he sweats this weird thing from his pores that he hasn't realised yet. He's just got this weird illness. But I love him, and hope he just goes on to better things, and Cena goes back to supporting Chelsea. That's a UK joke that some people will
get.
No,
I got that.
Forever for. They did it!
Lee would get it, but Rusev being a big Russian guy and that's his thing, it's like, yeah, he can only have matches against people that are like, well, I like my country because that's your gimmick,
right?
And the only thing I have to play off that is that. But I think a way to do it is to have Rusev have people come over to his side, and then other wrestlers have to name names in a big hearing about who they think is like working for Rusev.
I can see that.
That would be great. And it was pretty
good. Talking
about outdated things.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Learn your history.
It would be great as, could you talk about bringing back outdated things like McCarthy hearings and all this. But they showed all those old presidents and whatever talking.
They did.
Because that was the last time a fucking evil Russian gimmick was relevant. Hey, want to go see a wrestling show, honey? Ooh, what's on it? A big Russian. Does he get beat? You better believe it, honey. Oh, great. We can go to Burger King after this. And I can get a drink that's bigger than my house. Yay. What a cunt.
Amazing.
Matthew has just lost 10,000 subscribers.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, okay.
So now we're at the match that
we
were
get Taker versus
Well,
Bray Wyatt.
It happened right before it, but you can just go the whole Rock and Triple H Stephanie and
I was gonna say yes.
Ronda Rousey,
okay, Vegeta was the hero of that.
Vegeta
spot
was
yeah
the hero.
Yeah, Vegeta got the most heat there.
Vegeta will never be on more screens ever.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Ever.
Across the globe,
tens of millions. She said. tens of millions of people watching.
Potential.
I appreciate him calling out the Terminator bit. That was fun.
Yeah. Man, he didn't do a Furious 7 spot.
Exactly. So The Rock should come out and be like, I am furious at what you are doing in the ring right now.
Seven times over. That spot was fucking terrible.
I think Stephanie was amazing.
She's great.
She was the one that really carried the whole thing. Like, she talked more than The Rock. Now, think about that.
Yeah.
Stephanie McMahon had a thing where she talked more than The Rock.
Well, you couldn't let Hunter talk. He was clearly drunk.
Yeah, we noticed, having the observation that Hunter was just flubbing his lines for some reason, like, here and there. Not like calling the place the Pontiac Silverdome or anything, but fucking at least
slurring his words all over the place.
Yeah, he's slurring his words here and there.
What was fun with Stephanie was that she was like, she was being sarcastic through the bit.
Yeah.
She was, like, making fun of everyone and everything going on there. Like, that's fine. Just having an attitude towards the show and shenanigans that The Rock is going on.
Oh, get out of here, Dwayne. That part was great. But, like, just, like, I don't know, saying, hey, let's force a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, let's
Like, Rock is actively saying, let's have a WrestleMania moment. And points to somebody in the crowd who was pointed out by the announcers earlier in the show. Like,
Hey, man,
The Rock's just ultra sellout at this point.
Well, that's fine. He's a wrestler. Well, that's
but it was a step away from him saying, let's have a hashtag WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, like,
one step away. Oh, I would have loved that.
That would have been...
Very manufactured. But I still enjoyed it because I love Triple H and I love him when he's drunk. I didn't realize he was like this until I saw him plastered. But him and Steph are such great shit eating. Just like Stephanie's just so condescending, and it's very entertaining to me just seeing it. It's like, in fact, I own all of you, and all this is funny. But what was most amazing was seeing, Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. And I'm not one to judge fashion statements at all, but it was so great. Like, Ronda Rousey, normal people know who this is. Not people who don't play Marvel or watch wrestling. They know who Ronda Rousey is. And there she is at WrestleMania wearing a fucking Dragon Ball Z meme top.
Yeah.
But all the time I was thinking after I got over that, thinking, that's fucking great. But then I was like, shit, there's no way Keiji Tukun, or whatever his name was, I can never pronounce that guy's name, who made popularized the over 9,000 meme, is seeing any money from that.
I didn't think about
sad
that.
Sad for you!
Yeah.
But, that was the entire time I'm like, yeah, great, Rock, say another dick joke, or say bitch, or whatever. There's Vegeta, and a meme shot by a normal person who could kill you. Great. Part of me's like, oh, that would be great if they did, you know, that as a mixed tag match next month.
That's what I thought they were going for.
Vegeta and Rousey?
Vegeta and Rousey versus...
That'd be a good one.
I feel like midway through it, at some point, like, Triple H wasn't following, just goes, I don't know what's going on here, but I've had enough. And I fucking lost it at that point.
Pushed me out into the ring, and I was getting hammered.
Three minutes, and then just going, I don't know what's going on here.
It really struck me that the amount of time that The Rock took to say anything is like, we need to fucking
stall.
Burn some time here.
Burn time.
Yeah, but he
always does
he
that.
He did it, though.
They're thawing Undertaker out from the ice.
We need to figure out how we're going to fix the main event. It's fucking stall for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But
it's just Calculon from Futurama. It's like, did you see my dramatic... pause!
So, time to restart the streak. Here we go. It's going to take a while.
30 more years!
That was fun, because, like, the instant setup that you get in the ring is Bray Wyatt being like, this is my gimmick now! I took the gimmick!
I'm a weird cult guy.
You can't have it! It's me!
Also, I have to say, like, when both these guys are like, yeah, you're going to be having a match at WrestleMania, and also it's going to be at this arena during the day, both Undertaker and Bray Wyatt went, Well, fuck. Thanks for giving us entrances that only work during the night. Yeah,
their gimmicks
inside.
And their entrances suffered dramatically.
Fortunately, it was like an hour later, so it was starting to get there, but
yeah,
no, it wasn't quite
no,
there.
Takers was fine. It just put more fog out. Just
yeah,
fog
but
out.
Yeah, like Bray Wyatt's...
Keep a tight camera crop and have the scarecrows.
Wyatt's scarecrows would have looked way better if it was dark.
Certainly, yeah,
for sure.
But for what they got, I was happy with that. That's like
regular entrance where they turn all the lights off and the Wyatts just appear.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine them trying to pull that gimmick here?
See them run up. But no, honestly,
all these Silent Hill creatures will follow us into the ring, and they'll be our army, and they can fight for us.
But it's like that's the only match that, you know, obviously Taker had this year, as it were, and like they worked, man.
Yep. Totally.
I really liked it. I had a lot of fun with it.
Bray did not use his eldritch magics to his advantage. He didn't once put up an Aegis reflector.
No,
he could have had it, but he wasn't the creepiest.
But they actually had a battle of like the creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was fucking great. I was like, please do that.
Really charming. It was really charming.
Both of those.
The only thing I thought was weird is that are they going for Undertaker is still really slow and old, because he's constantly like looking at the camera in certain ways. Like, he's not trying to be scary or imposing. Like, is he actually like, I can't do this anymore? Or are they trying to make it show like he's gonna retire soon, and they're showing cracks in the armor?
I don't know. Whenever I see him looking at the camera, I always think he's just thinking. Mm. He's kind of scary.
Yeah, but back in the day, it's like, you know, stone face, never looking, never having big dumb googly eyes when someone kicks out of the tombstone. Because that's comical.
Yeah,
now.
I like that.
Like, we all laughed at it.
His eyes are a little googly.
His eyes are a little googly. So I'm thinking that they're just trying to say, like.
Yeah.
But then just become a biker again.
No!
Yeah, become a big stupid
now,
biker.
Now
better
he's just
a sorcerer.
Now he's just an ancient super wrestler.
That's pretty much it. It's the experience versus, you know, the new talent.
As we started to watch it, it's like completely one-sided, and then completely one-sided as Taker got gassed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I loved it. I had a lot of fun with that, and I love both of those guys, so like...
I was a little disappointed by it.
Oh.
Just wasn't...
Yeah, I wasn't balls out, but I was happy with the quality of the match, sure, and yeah, Undertaker's, huh, what's happening? Face is weird.
Yeah.
But I was sad in a way that Bray didn't win, because I'm like, oh, well, who's going to be here next week? And I like that they've upgraded. They've actually, you know, used other people to make Bray look better than he was last summer, during the summer of Cena. You know, like Ambrose, he's beaten loads
of
times.
Expecting...
The Royal Rumble, he looked great. Mm. So it was like in Transformers the movie when, you know, Starscream's like, yay, I'm the new king. And then Galvatron shows up and Starscream's like, Undertaker, is that you? Yes, again. And he just fucking kills him straight away. I'm like, oh, well, thanks, Undertaker. But no, it was still good.
Were you expecting a double streak loss, though? Like,
yeah, because then it would have been... Because they are sort of... Oh, he's the undead Undertaker. That was making sense. Yeah, he's undead Taker. But they keep on playing... They could play Johnny Cash songs over it. You know, Johnny Cash, he was like coming at the end of his career and doing stuff like Hurt and all this.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, that fits really well with him. So it would have been, in my, you know, being for a second, being like, Undertaker loses again and he's there like, I don't know if I have this in me to have one match a year. and you have a different twist on it. But it looks like they're just going to hedge their bets and have him as, no, he's still the dead man. He's still dead, don't worry. He's going to keep on being the dead man until he
dead.
Dies.
Yeah.
The way that I took it when Taker won was that that match existed to push Brock's win even higher. Is that
it was only Brock that
it was only it. Brock that can beat
it was only the
Taker
sword tattoo that could beat him.
Right? Like, Brock is so amazing. It's like, well, he's the undisputed God King of wrestling.
Yeah.
Because if Taker had lost here, then you'd be like, oh, well, Taker's over the hill. Of course Brock could beat him. Blah, 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 blah. But now that
that's Taker a good way of looking at it, actually.
Just wins. It's like, no, wait, Taker still got it. Brock was just actually better.
He's
and
dead
then,
now.
And then you go into the main event, which has Brock
yeah.
just fucking What is okay?
How about Undertaker transfers his powers to Brock, and Brock becomes like the Brock Taker? He
becomes an Onyx.
Holy shit!
And Paul Heyman could be Paul Bearer.
Yeah, there you go. He looks like
fucking money.
There we go.
I love everything about that idea.
So we're at the main event now, are we?
Yeah, man.
Brock versus Roman Reigns.
The match
you all wanted.
Hey, okay. We did not care. I don't think any of us really cared that much. But as we watched the match, Matthew, you tell us what was actually happening, because we were always confused. We were like, what are they going for?
Well, my observation that I was telling Pat about when we were watching is that this is a match of boo versus boo!
And it was worse than that. It was actually worse than that, because it was a match between nothing. When Brock was demolishing Reigns, there was nothing. There was no pop. There was nothing. And then the instant Reigns would make any sort of comeback, the boo would drown out everything. And remember,
I'm like, I'm feeling a little bit bad.
We talked about this earlier. This is an arena in which you shouldn't even be able to hear the crowd cheer. And the boos are coming in loud and clear.
So we couldn't figure out what they were going for.
Going into it, I immediately thought, oh, that's why they've been building up Roman Reigns. To make people love their King of Kings, Gilgamesh. I mean, Brock Lesnar. Yeah, exactly. Like, he was just built up so people would like Brock again. Oh, And no, people didn't even like Brock again. Although it was very satisfying to see such an absurdly one-sided match.
Yeah, your WrestleMania main event is one guy doing
45 suplexes.
Five signatures and four finishers.
Like suplex
on a guy that does nothing.
Yeah.
Well, and then when he did get all cut up and shit, he was hamming up that falling all over. He was like a fucking punch out character rolling around the ring.
If I
you remember that when he was rolling from rope
so
to rope.
When you think about it, that was a match in which I think there was maybe one move that was not a signature or a finisher from either of the combatants.
Almost.
You had all German suplexes and F5s, and you had like four Superman punches in a row.
The stuff that made Brock bleed, basically, when he was getting cut up on all those straps and belts.
Yeah.
Matthew, we're theorizing the reason why Brock kept getting opened up and little like cuts on his face is because whenever he does a suplex to Roman Reigns, all Roman Reigns' Final Fantasy shit that he wears was like rubbing against his face and cutting him.
That's absolutely what cut his stomach for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
That was probably the reason why. But now I've heard you talk about that, I'm going to be interjecting and say another thing. I'm not sure what you were hearing. When our TV, the crowd was fucking crazy for Brock. That's how we heard it on our TV. It was like Roman came out through the crowd, which turned out to be a huge mistake because there were people visibly shoving him and security having to get people out
security
his fucking way.
Yeah.
So the only way this entrance could have worked is if he'd gone down in a little Popemobile down the steps or maybe Rusev's tank. But no, and I was, you know, I saw Royal Rumble and Fastlane, and Roman has been cheered in places like on Raw, SmackDown doesn't count, it's pre-recorded, but he has been cheered, and so I was believing that it was just a few select places full of, you know, male wrestling fans above a certain age that were booing Roman, and that WrestleMania being, for want of a better term, you know, casual mania, that he was going to get cheered more than that. Holy shit.
It was so wrong.
He was booed like fucking Obama. It was so amazing. But the crowd were all over Brock, like a fat lass on chips. Like, yeah, come on, Brock. So I'm crazy because we were in all into it. All our room was like, fucking Brock. And I was he's going to Brock him like a hurricane. It's going to be so good. And yeah, you were right. It was just, you know, a few moves, really. But, I mean, I think that doesn't do the match justice because it was the atmosphere, like every Brock match. Every wrestler has it in them. I think it may just be WWE style or NXT style or whatever the fuck you call it nowadays, where every wrestler does do a certain amount of things the same way. Like, they'll pause to get reactions from the crowds, so they can start chanting and all this, you know, and they'll do a certain amount of moves and then pause or... And then there's Brock just doing his own thing, and it looks the most natural thing in the world. Like, he is playing himself, which is this guy that cannot be killed under normal means. So every match he has in WWE is so fucking great for me to watch, and I'm always into it, like the world's biggest fanboy. I'm like, yeah! And it was so good.
And it's not even just Brock, because he's got Paul on the sidelines just, like, goofing it up the whole time.
Yeah,
he had so much character.
He's, like, leaning his chin on his hands, just being like, oh, it's a match happening. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, but go on.
Yeah, so it's there, like, and I like this main event, because on paper, I'm there, like, this could go either way. I mean, it really could. You know, mm-hmm. Roman could win, Brock could win. It's not like, everyone knows this guy's going to win. It's like, no. Either of them could win, and yeah, so I'm at the edge of my seat, and then Brock starts bleeding. I'm like, fuck, no, but yeah, but no, but yeah. And then it's like, yeah, as you were saying, it's like, wait, how is he bleeding? Like, if Roman had like come here, you bastard, and headbutted him, it would have been great. But it was sort of like punch, punch, punch. Oh, and now he's bleeding to death. It's like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
What, you can't hurt Brock or make him bleed.
Yeah, when he got tossed, it was Roman just pushed him a little bit, and he went into the the ring post on the outside. They were looking at him,
and his face just exploded.
They're looking at him to see, did you blade or not?
No, because you can't blade anymore, right?
Yeah, you cannot blade anymore. Can you do it at WrestleMania?
So, like, that was totally
But that ring post will never work again after coming in contact with Brock's blood. So I'm like, oh wow. And then Brock hits him with the third F5, and I'm kind of over the whole multiple finishes, because after Cena Rock 2, which was just finishes, and it was like, oh fuck it, I do not care.
Everyone presses L2,
hits the stick,
right? Yeah, it's like rotate the analog stick, waggle the stick. Yeah, it was just that. I was like, oh, this is horrible. So it was like, oh, three F5s, that's it. And then he kicks out the third one. It's like, The Undertaker wasn't able to kick out a three F5s. So that was a point of like, you bastard Roman. Like, how dare you try and remake a classic?
Yeah.
Your RoboCop.
And he was doing the laughing thing on the ground too, like hit me more kind of thing.
Kill me, do it!
Yeah, come on! Which would have been better, but Roman, him doing that, looking all goofy, just made it look like, oh great, Brock's concussed him. Rather than, wow, he's a crazy serial killer type guy, that Roman. It's like, oh, Roman's fucked. Brock.
Yeah.
So I'm there, really into it, going, oh, this is tense. Oh, this is great. And then, what happened?
The music hits.
Well, right before that, I said, I hope they save this shit.
How do you save it?
I said, right as this thing, I'm like, what are they doing? I hope they save the main event by having Seth Rollins run in with the Money in the Bank and just win the title.
That's how you save it.
And then Seth Rollins runs in with the Money in the Bank and won the title.
And we couldn't hear ourselves because of how loud we were screaming.
Yeah, it
erupted.
And even though it's like we're all kind of ambivalent towards Seth Rollins, we were just super excited because it's A, we kind of
I like his big, dumb, goofy face more than Roman Reigns.
I like how naked he can get.
Let Ryu win it, not Ken.
No, let Ken win
not,
it.
It's not Ryu and Ken. It's Ken coming in to steal it from Shawn. Like...
Yeah.
But that was how you do it. That's how you finish it. Man, that was great.
What a
when people showed his big dumb Apocalypse belt buckle logo on the Titantron, and I looked at it, and then I could feel everyone like around me and everyone there just going like looking at a logo and going nuts because the thing that they want to happen is happening, which is a cool moment.
And the way that match ends with the failed F5 into spear and like pinning Reigns,
and yet Brock didn't
sets
lose
up
it technically,
like,
right?
So
yeah,
much
that's
perfect
it.
Angle mm-hmm. in that like
Brock be like,
didn't
defeat
actually
me.
Lose,
right? They can pull that,
yeah.
And we were talking about as well the fun part where. When they're showing the earlier promo they cut last Raw, where Roman and
physically
like,
tug of war
the belt. No,
that was so bad.
And we're just like, oh man, if Paul wasn't there on the mic to make the magic happen, what would they have to say? You know?
I am the strongest.
Don't let a mic roll in that ring. Just let them tug of war.
No, I am the strongest.
Dude, just speak Sanskrit at him. This ancient god king.
But no, man, I'm that finish was awesome. And
yeah.
Like, I feel like Seth running out there and doing that is exactly what everyone wanted.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone was on page with that.
And seeing him swing the belt like he's fucking Leatherface at the end of Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah!
Beautiful. Should have just taken off like Molyneux and Thor. Like, I'm
I love that gif. That animated gif is fucking
perfect. It's like, it's a Saturday morning cartoon where he grabs the belt and then just runs away with the belt. Ha ha! I got it!
He just stole it. He just came in.
Until next week, idiot.
Until next week, yeah.
Matt brought it up as we were walking out, and it's whoever invented Money in the Bank was a fucking genius.
Was it Jericho?
It was Jericho.
It was Jericho.
Because it awesome idea.
Because it's like, uh-oh, people don't like the storyline.
How do we fix it?
In case of disaster, break glass. Get Money in the Bank.
It's perfect. It's also like, I always thought it was, uh-oh. The main guy's injured. Oh, thank fuck we've got this suitcase thing then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point, amazing. Too.
They should have 8 Money in the Bank matches a year.
Have a third contender that's optional.
And you, no, you know what so this smart. Is? That this is the modernization and spread of the way the hardcore title used to work Crash Holly had it.
All times, all places.
Which is like, you can get it at any time. And that title changed... like 4 times in one night.
Yeah,
I think.
That was fun.
Yeah. Like that was Al really Snow bad. Won it from Blackman, and then Crash Holly stole it from him, and then Kane won it, and then Crash won it back. Or
However, it's good. It's good in a short term, and it does work when it's done really well, like tonight or like when Edge had it. Anytime it would work.
Yeah,
really.
Edge.
But it is. Oh, go on.
Edge was the first one that did that, right?
That's
the,
right. The first guy to win.
The opportunist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first guy to win the Money in the Bank.
Dead. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. But it is a part of a, you know, almost a phew, it's a good job we've got no ideas. Thank fuck we've got Money in the Bank. Hey, let's all go to the bar and drink. So it is weird in the sense that it used to be, oh, how do we build up this match? We want this pay-per-view. Oh, let's have this guy feud with this guy. And I was like, fuck it. Let's have this guy beat him loads and he can cash in his suitcase. So it is sometimes like, it's a bit lazy. But then, like I said, when it's done right like this, it's like, who cares about the bad times?
Yeah. So we were pretty hyped by the end of it. We
walked
were
away,
enjoying
excited.
The match.
I'm thinking about watching Raw. Nah, fuck.
You're not doing that.
Nah, fuck.
The only thing that could have made the night better is that during the Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt match, how, you know, there was a lot of run-ins, like special run-ins, and I was like, who would run in during Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt? And I said, it would be great if Undertaker's motorcycle just drove itself down the ramp and like swerved into Bray and knocked him down. So the only thing that could have topped it is just like that moment. That would be a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
Hashtag ghost bike.
Or like, he's like, oh no, I'm dead. I've lost all my energy. And then the bike comes with his... like his leather jacket, his bandana, his shades. He puts it on, he's immediately revitalized. Like, yes, I'm somebody completely different.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, a fun watch, man.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Good WrestleMania. Thanks for putting up with our super hyper-casualness, Matthew.
Oh, not the least. Like I said, I had to get myself relaxed because I'm like, okay, I'm not that familiar with some of you guys, I'll admit. But... my friends, and I've got lots of friends who know me but don't give a fuck about wrestling. It's only like 5 friends I've got who like wrestling. Mm-hmm. But it's always a case where I'll say, they'll just start talking to me going, you know that like video thing you do online? It's like, yeah. Like, I don't know it, but like my colleague or my friend or someone that they know, like they like wrestling. And I mentioned that I know you and their eyes lit up like I told them I knew Santa Claus. It's like, oh, he's like, yeah, he's like, great, what's he doing? Oh, you know, he's the guy with half a brain, you know? You know, it's like, oh, fuck, of course it is. but you guys, because you've been casually name-dropping me, a lot of people I don't speak to for a while have been like, you know, those guys that make video games for some reason mention your shit, Matthew. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. But it's like, oh, some, you know, and I thought it's just some YouTubers, because you probably know this, how well some guys talk to other video games. It's like, oh, well, you could be anybody. But it's like, no, right. These guys are really, really big, Matthew. I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? Oh, oh, look how many Twitter followers these motherfuckers are. Oh, okay. Well, hello, Wooly. Hello, Wooly. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Pleasure meeting you. So I want to say a few things because, yeah, you've been polite to me, so I'll ruin this completely. Thank you very much for making all those lovely Mortal Kombat Street Fighter cartoon videos. The Switcher.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome, sir.
Me and my
it
friends
always comes back
those.
To that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You maybe get this a lot. I don't know, but man, they were some.
Not as often as you'd think, but I appreciate it all the same because those are the things that, like, I first did that kind of spurred our channel into existence.
Yeah.
Genesis, or sorry, the Mega Drive of our channel. There,
bless
so.
You. Oh, how nice is that, right? And Wooly, I don't know you, but I know you're, like, and again, a nice way, I mean, anyway, a personality as well, so it's a pleasure you being very polite to me as well. I know this because I have friends who really love Marvel 3.
okay.
Yeah. And believe you're the guy who inspired that fucking quote about when's Marvel.
Oh, yeah, right. Wooly invented that quote. That's exactly how that goes.
Oh, well, you I take back every good thing I just said then, because, you know, I did this non-ironically, you know, like,
yep.
When's Marvel? I'm like, ha, ha, ha. It's like, no, when are we playing Marvel? I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, every time
I like
Marvel
up to the third one.
At Raw, sorry, like, I get the screenshot sent
to
over, and they're like, yeah,
exactly.
Wooly, you did this.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
all you. What? You created Marvel.
It didn't start there, but Wooly certainly owned it, that's
boosted it. Boosted it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the FGC loves you for taking their
I'm
thing.
I'm sure they do.
For coming in, leaving, and then stealing their stuff.
Yeah. I had my moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, for the rest of our lives, I think every time we're near something in real life and it doesn't break, we will attribute it to a boss in a fighting game laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's just Iori from King of Fighters as well. So like, the three SNK fans that would watch you go, oh, I know where that's from. Everyone else is like, wow, that's got to be some like Japanese martial arts film or some. Maybe it's
no
the Great Muta. I'm like, yeah, it's some guy from King of Fighters. Good.
No, and when the hair appears on the fucking table, or the dictator hat, like, oh god.
And also, my friend, again, sorry to be fanboyish again. My friend said. Tell Wooly and Liam, I say this is a friend of mine, say hi, and that their Silent Hill 2 axe throwing moment got me through some bad times, as it's the funniest thing ever.
Our axe throw moment was pretty sad.
It was really sick.
Yeah,
really
Wooly and Liam, that was amazing
that
when
was
you guys threw that axe.
It was terrible.
What that was awesome.
I don't know what they're talking about, so hopefully I've not offended you, but...
Nope. We'll let it rock, man.
Yeah.
We'll let it rock. It's cool.
Oh,
man. There's more to that than your friend.
There's depth.
You know.
There's depth there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Really?
The full story.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
You've been punked, man.
Well, brilliant. Well, you know, yeah. Nice having you. I'll just you know
this,
shit on your doorstep on the way out of your house. You know, fucking.
No, don't worry, don't worry about it. But this is also the time where you can shill your stuff.
Yeah. What
your
do you
YouTube
do?
Channel your Patreon, whatever you like.
We said you make videos. What do you make?
I make a video series called Botchamania. Like, a great many things. Was good a few years ago, and now is just, you know, slowly. like Undertaker is just there in spirit. it's called Botchamania. You can check it out on botchamania.com. I'll give you my YouTube, or my Daily Motion, or my Vimeo, but they all get taken down, replaced with newer, more efficient, sexier channels. So just go on the website. I have a Twitter, which is twitter.com/MafuGreg. That's MafuGreg. I'm not actually from the Middle East. Even though my name ends in EW, I get that a lot. It's nice. I've nothing against it. It's weird. If you saw me in real life, you go, oh, yeah, you're not from the Middle East. And I have a thing called Patreon, which you shouldn't give money to because I'm a horrible bastard. You should give your money to a worthwhile cause. Like charity or... You shouldn't buy Marvel 3. No, that's fucking... Buy Marvel 1. That doesn't get enough love. Marvel 1
that's
is fine. A great game.
Marvel
1's get it on Xbox
game.
Live Arcade. I believe you can get it there.
Oh, you can't, dude.
It's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, fuck. Well, give the money
it's
to me
delisted.
Then instead.
It's expired forever. You have to buy a Dreamcast
it's
copy.
It's cool, though. Track it down. Mega Man's in it.
Oh, give me the Marvel money, and then I sort of promise to buy you a copy of MVC 1 for the Dreamcast. That is not a guarantee, but I promise the money will be well spent.
There you go.
And these guys have been... two best friends. Well, shit, that's not work, is it? Best friends play. The three of you.
Nice. It's an awkward, legally binding contract we're stuck in. We can't fix it for 20 years.
Some best friends playing things. And they've been very polite. Maybe at MagFest we'll meet up.
Switch the name to that.
Yeah, sure.
Super best friends playing things.
It's like what we used to be called Two Guys Play. Remember
Two Guys Play?
Yeah.
Chewy and Fuckface Show. Yeah, that's the one.
Over at MagFest, someone walked up to Matt and I and were like, "Yeah, you're Pat and Chewy, right? Great time. Good, love your stuff. I'm like, I'm sure you do."
But now that has since evolved into Chewy and Fuckface. I like that one.
Chewy and Fuckface. It's great. I get people coming to me and going, "Wait, are you the Mafu?" And I go, "Yeah." It's like, I thought Mafu was just like a team name and it was a bunch of you. I'm like, ah.
To be fair, that's what I thought as well. Like when I first started watching Boxmania,
oh, really?
and your name would start coming up, I'd just be like, is that like the website name? I didn't think it was like one singular person, so.
It seems like too everyone, much work for one man alone.
It's an
I think everyone has a bit of Mafu in them. Or if they're cute, maybe they will get some. So I've already been botched that. Sorry, no, I sound like a sex pest. I've ruined the mood. I've misjudged everything. But but will you guys be at MagFest?
Just peter out gloriously, man.
This coming MagFest, like next year? Yeah, we're going to every MagFest until it
until they make you stop.
Yeah.
Until they stop us.
Oh, well, good. At the last MagFest, they did the thing where they're like, any feedback? And I went, this is the greatest thing I ever go to every year, and I'll keep on coming to it. You know, I got getting all hyped up, like, you know, Jesse Jackson talking to the mic, And then I said, like, I'll keep on coming in until, I don't know, they blow the hotel up or something. And everyone just stopped and like, ooh. I'm like, not really, motherfucker. Like, there's a big hotel in 2004. And then it's more staring. I'm like, oh, fuck it. I meant well. Goodbye. It's not the same thing I'm starting out to. But if I do see you there, thank you very much. I'll hopefully hang with you and play games.
Yeah, totally.
But if not, all the best. You are amazing. I'm going to brag to all my friends and they're going to call me. Wait, if I go on my Facebook and the post, I mean, it's like, yeah, these are all the people, for example, who were telling me, you know, don't know me that much for videos, but know you. I'm so jealous you're going to be talking to them. Oh, man, I can't wait to listen to this.
Now, are they British too, or are you just putting that on for them?
Oh, no, they are all cute. I could do the American accent, I guess.
Yes, please.
Jealous. Please. Seriously, trademark. Burger King, trademark. Wendy's, trademark. Walmart. Someone's put a video about a certain member choosing MBC3 over sex, but I'm not going to bring it up because I'm being polite.
I think that was Pat.
It looks like Pat in the thumbnail. Whatever, Pat. And a guy who I know around the corner, just one word in capital letters, dick. So, so this is it.
That speaks volumes.
You should be very happy with your success or the fact that people wouldn't insult me because of you. And I'm taking up way too much of your time. And there's nothing you want to share or ask about.
You should be really happy for your success because, like, I think at least Pat will agree, is that Botchmania did actually help us get a bit more into wrestling.
Yeah, no, because I'm never going to watch wrestling again, but I love wrestling. But now I don't have to actually watch it. I can just watch Botchmania instead.
You watch it for us, and then we get the unfiltered quality version.
All the shit, all my favorite parts.
Well, there's been many times when I'm watching Raw going, this is fucking awful. Then I'll quicken the pace up at VLC and then put the Punch-Out theme over it. I'm like, this is the best wrestling show I've ever seen in my life.
So. You enable
I'm happy to help.
This, man. Thank you.
I'm happy to help. Is there anything else you want to talk about, or do you want me to sod off?
Sod off, please, Mr. Mega Drive Dreamcast, Bad News Barrett Bulldog.
I think we did.
All right, there you go.
You're very welcome, you Lance Storm, Bret Hart, Stu Hart, Helen Hart, David Hart, Bret. Oh, fuck, said that. All right, bye.
Weatherman telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sitting in a drop top soaking wind. In a silk suit trying not to living, but living the business. Too hot to jump in jail. Too long to dig, I might just inhale. Hot, get a life out of your sale. Then I might catch for sale. Look at what came in the mail. I'm scaling some arm and hammer. Slow girl grilling a baby mama. Black hair lacking a pack of pebbles. Stack of questions with no answers. Cure for cancer, cure for AIDS. Make a nigga wanna stay on tour for days. Get back home, things are wrong. When I really am bad all alone. Before you left, ass up to a ball of power. Thousand and a thousand miles per hour. Hello, ghetto, let your brain free. Believe there's always more. Don't pull the bang out. Microphone like that, there, boy, we still stay free. Big things happen every time we meet. Like a crack team, died again. Outcast bumping up and down the street. Slam back, hand lag, bye-bye. Niggas day 75, them stay street. Style to the beat, cause we get crunk, they drunk at the club. Should've bought an ounce, but you caught the dub. Should've held back, but you throw the punch. Want to meet your girl, but you packed the lunch. No D to the U to the G for you. Got a son on the way by the name of Bamboo. Got a little baby girl, 4 year Jordan. Never turn my back on my kids for them. Should've hit it, rag. Top, boy, you eat up, get a laptop. Make a bit for yourself, boy, set some goals. Make a bad dime out of dusty cold. Reckon I'm a boy, but we on the road. Hold up, slow up, stop, control. Like Janet, planet, stay on the Estonia. Moving like floor, come straight to Florida. Block by your mothers, then block the quarters. Putting up a bell, cause the weapons in order. Like a three-piece bitch before I cut your daughter. Your pedal taco bell, then I hit the border. Pity pat rapper trying to get the vibe. I'm a microphone being trying to stay alive. When you come to 18, I'm, well, you bet not high. Cause the Dutch family gon' ride. Ha! Don't pull the bang out.